Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It's Tuesday, and there's a whole bunch of what the f*** going on out there. But then again, that's what you expect in the death throes of the shrinking, dying...
I'm melting! Oh, my wonderful evil...
Repiglick and party. I mean, they're real beauty, and it just there's no let-up. And so we will chronicle more of that this evening, without doubt. It's a what the... Tuesday. Program reminder, however, just as I started the show yesterday evening, please, 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 please make sure that you are tuned in, as it were. Yeah, I know, because you got rabbit ears on the top of your computer. Trying to bring in the signal. Nah, this comes straight through the pipe. Pure digital goodness all the way from the hills and hollers of West Virginia to you, wherever you might be, whenever you might be, because this is the Horn, and this is, by the admission of the publisher of Talkers Magazine, the future of radio, and the future is now, and the future is the Horn. Wow, was that some shameless self-promotion. That just, I need a bath. I'm not very good at that. But anyway, no, a reminder, Thursday, 7 o'clock-ish, p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. You want to be on hand as the Horn goes on the road to the Seneca 2 lecture series on the campus of West Virginia State University in Institute, West Virginia, for an address and question and answer session with none other than Elizabeth Kucinich. She will take questions from the audience, and because we will be there, she will also take questions from you. This is your chance to hear a brilliant woman sharing a compassionate and intelligent vision for America's future. And it'll all start about 7 o'clock-ish, so there will probably be a late start time to the program Thursday evening as we get everything set up. But it's going to be something special, I do promise you. So looking forward to that. Now, and you know, thanks to some contributors, we will not have any problem buying gasoline to get there. Yeah, I know, that's probably a little embarrassing to hear me say, well, you know, we got to sweat the gasoline. But we do. And so hopefully, some of you have stepped up very generously and graciously, and we know we can get there and back now. And usually it's just the Ferg and me, but this time through, since it is such a special event, we're going to take the whole fam damily. The whole Kincaid clan is going, and we're just sort of a liberal internet version of the Von Trapp family singers, you know. No, I'm not going to sing now. I'm not going to do any parodies of anything from The Sound of Music because I just don't look good dancing in circles on Alpine Meadows. Me and Julie Andrews, we don't have that going on. I don't have that Julie Andrews thing going on. The hills are alive. Run! Run for your life! They're alive! See, that's about as far as I can go. But anyway, we will all be there, and we will we will Horn intern junior grade Ferg is in the Horn intern junior grade production chair this evening, by the way, if you can't tell from the giggling in the background. He will be taking your calls this evening. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, H-E-A-D-O-N. No, you do not want to see me in a nun suit, Lottie. You really, really don't. I just look like a penguin is all. I mean, really. But, you know how to reach the program, 304-658-3333 on your nickel. Email rolls into bobkincaid@gmail.com, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D @gmail.com. Chat room saying hi to Ferg. Hi, Ferg.
Hi, everybody.
Okay, so he's talked his talk for tonight, and henceforward we're going to be working on our Horn Intern Junior Grade module on how not to talk when Dad's mic is open tonight. He hates that. He wants a show so bad. I'm not kidding. He wants his own show. So I tell him, look, son, every day for 6 weeks, you get up, you read everything in the New York Times, you read everything in the Washington Post, you read everything in the L.A. Times, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, maybe the Charleston Gazette just to get the local flavor. Read all of that. Read about 20 to 25 blogs a day. After 6 weeks, we'll see if you're ready. He goes, nah, Dad, I don't want to do one of those geeky shows like you do. But anyway. There's so much to get to tonight. Let's not waste any time. You know, the other night, I played the audio from that Onion bit with the Indiana congressman backing the bill to ban gang members. And, yeah, it was kind of visual because everybody, the only qualification for being a gang member for this phony white Indiana Republican was that they have dark skin. But I'm really beginning to worry about the Onion and about their ability to tread that fine line between comedy and reality, because they've done it again. A story from the most recent from the Onion website most recently, dated yesterday, May the 4th. Headline: Nation ready to be lied to about economy again. And you know, this ties into something that I was saying in the other night in a conversation, I forget with whom, about the fact that the American people have an incredibly short attention and memory span. It only took 8 years for us to forget what a miserable failure George H.W. Bush was after 8 years of the broadest peacetime expansion of the American economy in history under Bill Clinton. And then by the time 2000 rolled around, there was a slight minority of people in this country, plus five jug-headed Supreme Court justices, who said, George W. Bush? Sounds like a great idea. We've forgotten what a bowl floater his father was. Let's try another Bush. And thus we got 8 years of hell, 8 years of murder, 8 years of torture, 8 years of damnation, 8 years of tears, 8 years of toil, 8 years of sorrow, aggravation, grief, and despair. 1 million dead civilians in Iraq alone, and I don't think we're even bothering to count in Afghanistan. We got Israel completely off the chain and unable to behave itself in the world community because of the laissez-faire, let them do what they want, they own us anyway, policies of the Bush administration. In other words, we got a mess. 8 years of having of everybody in the world learning to hate our flippin' guts. All because the attention span of the American people for remembering what a bunch of, pardon my mouth, shitbirds the Bush family are. And all of that, I say, I'm sorry, I didn't give the little Timmy and little Susie warning. My bad, Mom, Dad. Just pray they never hear that word again, okay? If they haven't already before. So, anyway, this article in... this article from The Onion that has it's kind of like, well, you know, the same thing happens with Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. The comedy isn't comedy anymore. It's far too close to reality. From The Onion: Nation ready to be lied to about economy again. Dateline Washington. After nearly 4 months of frank, honest, and open dialogue about the failing economy, A weary U.S. populace announced this week that it is once again ready to be lied to about the current state of the financial system. Tired of hearing the grim truth about their economic future, Americans demanded that the bald-faced lies resume immediately, particularly whenever politicians feel the need to divulge another terrifying problem with Wall Street, the housing market, or any one of 100 other ticking time bombs everyone was better off not knowing about. In addition, citizens are requesting that the phrase, quote, "it will only get worse before it gets better," unquote, be permanently replaced with, "things are going great. Enjoy yourselves." "I thought I wanted a new era of transparency and accountability, but honestly, I just can't handle it," Ohio resident Nathan Pletcher said. "All I ever hear about now is how my retirement has been pushed back 15 years and how I won't be able to afford my daughter's tuition when she grows up. From now on, just tell me the bullshit I want to hear," Pletcher added. "Tell me my savings are okay, everybody has a job, and we're number one again. Please just lie to my face. USA, 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 and I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free." You know, that. Right. The national call for decreased candor began last month after the Department of Labor released another soul-crushing report that most Americans agreed, quote, "wasn't helping anything and didn't need to be so specific at least." The report estimated that 663,000 private and public sector jobs were lost in the month of March, a revealing statistic many people found shockingly blunt. Responding to the new information, an overwhelming majority of citizens said they believe that during these extremely uncertain times, our leaders have a responsibility to come together, sit the American people down, and lie through their teeth about everything from misappropriations of taxpayer dollars to the severity of the credit crisis. "I don't need to be constantly reminded that the lack of regulations on Wall Street, compounded with failing institutions like AIG, basically plunged the world economy into a global recession," said 32-year-old office manager Alexis Harrington. "What I want is for someone to tell me with a straight face that the GDP is through the roof so that I can feel better and instantly forget what all these terms even mean. For the first time in my life, I know who the Secretary of the Treasury is," Harrington continued, "and I don't like it." And the piece goes on at length that way. And it's funny. I mean, I get comedy. And I even get wry comedy. The kind of comedy that's treads dangerously close to reality like this does. But how if you're the Onion, or if you're Jon Stewart's crew or Colbert's, how do you do comedy basically on a commercial station? How do you do comedy for sale when the Republican Party is giving it away for free on the street corner? Honestly, yesterday's audio from the listening tour in the pizza parlor, where Eric Cantor's answer to a small business owner asking about how he deals with 34% healthcare cost increases, and Eric Cantor's answer is to attack the British and Canadian healthcare systems. Is it just me, or there's not a great enough comedy writer out there to come up with that and get away with it? But I've made this argument before. But America does quickly forget, and I was reminded of it today. It's a very small town I live in, but there's always something. There's always something out there that will prove grist for the mill, and I got mine today. Okay, here's the short part of the story. The other day, Ferg and I were out, and we picked up a bag of, I know, hate me, hate me, hate me, hate me. It's okay. Pork rinds. Okay. I like them. And this was a brand, a fairly local brand, and it was barbecued pork rinds, and they were just yummy. So I popped in today to get a bag of those. And I got the last bag, and there won't be any more for a week, so I don't know for what Ferg and I are going to do. But I'm standing there with my pork rinds in the line, and there's this grizzled old dude in front of me who's talking to the checkout woman. And, you know, I'm not wearing a business suit or anything, just a pair of shorts and T-shirt, you know, the usual. And the grizzled guy in front of me says, well, I sure hope them people voted for that Barack Obama. And he kind of looked around when he almost said, you know, the magic word. I hope them people that voted for that Barack Obama are happy with what they've done to the country. And, you know, you can't hang one of those over the rim without me just jumping up and doing the flying 360 slam on it. And I looked at him and said, happy? I'm ecstatic. And you would have thought that I had slapped him. What? I said, oh, heck yeah. I couldn't be prouder to have that man be my president. Now, you and I know that I have my misgivings, but I'm not going to sit there and engage in a discussion of nuance with a real live, mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking troglodyte in front of me. No way. You are? Let's just see how happy you are in 4 years. I just looked at him, big smile on my face, not being hateful. Four? I'm looking forward to how much happier I'm going to be in 8. You know, we couldn't have took another year of that miserable monster Bush in the office. He was a criminal. And just smiling, happy fella. And he walks out. You know, I don't know. I expected him to be standing in the parking lot flinging poo at my truck or something. I mean, this guy was a real nut, right-wing nut. But it was just as natural as the day is long for me, because I will not let that crap fly by ever again. Are you like me in that regard? Have you had enough? For 8 years, we were shouted down and screamed down and told that we were unpatriotic and, why don't you love America? And all of that. And we found our voices, and we're never giving them up again. And whether it's some knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing freak at the grocery store or wherever he is, I'm not taking it ever again from them. I will always at least put my voice into the mix with these goons. Like I said, nuance was impossible. It was a passing exchange at the grocery at the checkout aisle. But I just, what he's done to the... He's been in office a little over 100 days. What in the hell could he possibly have done, you big old pasty-faced white moron, you? From one pasty-faced white moron to another. I mean, honestly. Let's be fair. By 100 days into Dim Leader's first term, we didn't know he had completely and irrevocably screwed us. We knew that he was trying for all he was worth to do so, but we didn't know that he had. And so, you know, even back then, what few brave little liberals there were willing to speak their piece. Weren't at day 105 or 110, Walker.
I sure hope it.
I certainly hope the Supreme Court are happy with what they've done to America with that Bush.
No. Because we didn't know the extent to which we were going to be screwed yet. It was May of 2001. September was 4 months away. It would be
another month before one of the freak members of the Bush administration stood at the podium at the graduation of at West Point and said, who was it? The guy that licks his comb. Paul Wolfowitz. Stood at the podium in June of 2001 and told graduating seniors at West Point, all I can tell you is be prepared to be surprised. And gave that whole we need another Pearl Harbor speech, all of that. That was all in the future in early May of 2001. So we liberals, we thought we were pretty sure the election had been stolen. We were pretty sure it was not going to be good for the country. But we weren't sitting there, he's already ruined America. But that's okay. Because the right wing have utterly lost their minds. Come completely unglued. And are declaring the end of America as we know it. It's out there to be seen in this phony-ass poll that's being bruited about in the for-profit media. Have you heard about this? I'm sure Hartman or Malloy or somebody has had this before me. This poll that says that, Barack Obama has high approval numbers, but that's only because the vast majority of African Americans approve of him. Most of white America isn't nearly as enthusiastic, Muffy. Really, I'm not kidding. The Fox has been having a field day with this. It's been all over the place. Anyone disapproving of Barack Obama, who was dark-skinned, is virtually statistically undiscoverable. But it's slight, right at half and half among the well-meaning white people who actually know how to run this country. Yes. Never mind that the white people caused all this problem. But, just saying. But it's going to be a jolly 4 years. It really, really is. For now, however, let's go to the phones. Susan's with us. News Ninja Susan. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
You are an evil, evil man.
Yes, I am.
Of course, being of the same species as you, I would have probably grinned and said, yeah, and you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm not even getting started good.
Oh, I know. There's a million things you come away thinking. If you could have just been quick enough to look at him and say, and he ain't even opened the re-education camps yet, you're going to have a hell of a time there.
But your response was just classic. I was sitting here laughing my silly head off. I love it, and I agree with you completely. By the way, that survey about Barack Obama's popularity, his popularity is somewhere over 60%.
Right.
The percentage of African Americans in the United States is, according to the U.S. Census, 13.5% of the total U.S. population. That shatters that argument right there.
Whoopsie.
In other words, a whole lot of Latinos, and more importantly, a whole boatload of white people had to vote for Barack Obama.
Yes.
And they did it in droves.
And they stayed away from John McCain in droves. And see, I mean, like I said, these are just fleeting little conversations. And again, you can't do nuance with a knuckle walker.
Oh, heavens, no.
But you want to look at him and say, because McCain would have worked out how and made this better how?
But then he would have been able to come back, but at least the queers would have been able to get better.
Oy.
I think yours is better. Anything you can do to make their head explode, go for it.
Because it's fun. Not necessarily because we're right. We are correct. But because it's fun. Because the minute I heard him say, that Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew what I was dealing with.
Time to shove the knife in and twist it.
Yeah, it makes make sure it's nice and rusty and run through some dog poo first. Yeah.
Oh, have you heard somebody else has come up with a variation on the same idea? They put forth someone they would like considered for the Supreme Court.
Yes.
How does Mr. Justice Gore sound? And you can hear the right-wingers' heads popping all over the country.
Yeah, it's like hard rain on a windshield.
Yeah, the only thing that would make more heads explode is if he nominated Bill Clinton.
I've got to do some more research on her, but I'm thinking very highly of this Sonia Sotomayor.
She's got some tape out where basically she said something that I completely agree with, that that might just kill her. Where she's more or less said, all judges are activist judges. Well, of course they are. Just look at that, dear old Tony.
Yeah, you can't give someone that kind of power and not expect them to exercise it from time to time. The question is how they exercise it and in what cases and which special interest, the phrase they use in law school is it's a question of whose ox is being gored.
Exactly. Another possibility is Judge Woods.
Judge Woods.
She's Judge Diane Wood. She is based in Chicago.
Okay.
She clerked for Blackmun. And among other things, if I'm not mistaken, she is one of the people who proceeded to put a spoke into the Bushies over one of the... She came right out and said, this is torture.
Oh, is this...
She did.
Yeah, oh, okay, I think I know who you're talking about. I like Sonia Sotomayor, though, because she, and this is really petty of me, and I admit that I'm a very petty person where things like this are concerned. This is very small and very petty of me, but she is female. She is Hispanic. She is not just Hispanic. She is the daughter of Puerto Rican parents who immigrated to New York and raised her there. She has risen all the way to the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. All of those things are guaranteed to just, make the Republican Party look longingly at the samurai sword, okay?
Just to finish, Susan,
my only question is, and I do not know this yet because I didn't read that thoroughly, what is her age? And I know one never asks a lady her age, but it kind of matters here. I want a 46-year-old Supreme Court justice that's really liberal.
Do you know how to spell her last name?
Yeah, Sotomayor. Up here in the hills, we've got some folks with that last name. But around here, we pronounce it Sotomayor.
Yeah.
Sotomayor. But it is Sotomayor.
Let's see. Problem is she's got health problems. She's diabetic.
That we can deal with. I'm sure.
54.
Grandfather, go to Willard. I'm sure Wilford Brimley will bring her diabetes medicine personally.
She was born in 1954.
Oh, great. So she is 55. I can deal with 55.
Diane Wood was born 1950.
Okay, too old. No offense to the pre-1950 crowd. Too old. Sorry. Just, No, you got.
I agree.
You got to remember, John Roberts was 48. I need somebody that's, you know, in the same ballpark there, who can sit there and just be a needle in his ass for the rest of his life and make him get up every morning and go, oh, Jesus Christ, I have to go to work with that liberal today.
Yeah. And she does have one good thing. She was nominated for the district court of the Southern District by Bush 41.
Oh, dear. But I think and of course, because she's being Judge Sotomayor, because she is being mentioned frequently, probably means she's already off the list, which is a damn shame, unless there is someone. And you know what? I'll freely admit it. I've got a litmus test. This nominee has got to be female and has got to represent some degree of ethnic diversity.
Yeah.
Now, I know that pisses off Flush Flimball, something fierce. I forget what rotten, tawdry thing he said about it. We're throwing out the Constitution in the name of diversity or something like that, you know, which just presupposes that a woman can't know constitutional law, that a Latina can't know constitutional law, that an African-American woman can't know constitutional law. But, you know, we expect that of them because they're, you know, freaks and bigots.
Let's see what this is. What I would like to see, and I don't know if there is even such a judge, or someone capable, let's face it, doesn't have to be a judge. What I would like to see, young, preferably female, American Indian.
Oh, now see that. Yeah, one of the greatest jurists America has ever known is Judge Learned Hand, and he was an American Indian of American Indian descent. But I don't, you know, I don't see a problem in saying, white dudes need not apply.
Yeah.
You know, no offense to Mark Levine or anything, but no. We've got to have some semblance of, you got to have somebody there that's balancing out Slappy Thomas. And of course, I was over at Bart Cop, I think it was today, and I saw a real sort of outside shot. You know who would be just, I mean, some kind of great to nominate to the Supreme Court? Anita Hill.
Oh, poetic justice.
Slappy might go out and hang himself. No, she's still teaching at that law school somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, she could probably afford to take the job.
Born 1956.
Getting better all the time.
A professor of social policy, law, and women's studies. And she's a member
of
the
Lord,
bar.
Jeff Sessions, poor old Jeff Sessions of Alabama on the ranking re-pig-licking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, he'd just start vomiting the green pea soup and do the whole exorcist thing right there at the table. Little head going around 360 degrees, spinning like a carnival pinwheel. And then, you know, here's some more poetic justice. Make Arlen Specter look at her again. This time, Arlen, you're a Democrat. And you don't get to character assassinate her.
Yeah, not that that's...
But this is just fantasizing, I understand. But, God, oh, you know, if Barack Obama just had that grand theatrical sense for the dramatic and the ironic and the absolutely... upper level sort of divine justice kind of thing.
Yes, I think it's perfect, and she's qualified. That's what's even better. She's qualified.
Eminently so.
Yeah, and she's young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, I would just, that would just tickle me to death. I would love it.
Morning, Slappy. Morning, Tony. Morning, John, you bug-eyed freak. You know what, John Roberts? You got eyes like one of them Alaskan Malamutes. You really do. Looks like there's no soul behind them, John Roberts.
Oh, before I go, I know you've probably got blinkies, but I wanted to let people know. If you go to the main website on the horn.
Okay. Head on RadioNetwork.com.
Yeah. Scroll down a little bit. There's an article up there that will make your head explode.
Oh, dear. I hate it when my head explodes. Yeah. I try to keep that from happening more than 4 or 5 times a day.
Yeah, pulled it off the America blog. I do like the America blog.
Yeah, John Iervosus is great, except when he's making excuses for why he runs the clean coal ads. That's my only fault with him.
The title of the article says it all. Did the Mormons baptize Obama's mother after her death without his knowledge? And he's got a photograph, which is also in the post.
Wait, I'm at the site right now. Where I'm at Head On Radio. Oh, wait a second. Head On.
Below the video.
Oh, below the video.
Uh huh. Maybe I should have put it. Yeah, if you open up the post, you can see the form.
And that is exactly what I'm doing right now.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, Becky. They did.
Uh-huh.
They engaged in religious necrophilia with the president's dead mother.
Yep. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but if I was Barack Obama, I'd be really, really pissed about now.
Well, and it was done expressly to needle him.
Oh, of course.
They did it in the middle of the election season. Anybody with knowledge, well, and you've got it too. Okay, I understand what the post-mortem baptism is. What's the endowment? I mean, did she get a foundation or something?
I'm not exactly sure what that part is.
Okay, maybe we need a recovering Mormon who's not as far out from the recovery as what you are from your...
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. Susan, I cannot begin to express what I would do if I found out some damn Mormon had baptized my parents after they died. I'm going to say this, and it's the first time I've ever said it on the air, anything like this. I might have to kill somebody.
Yeah, and this is taken off of an official website of the LDS.
You know, down south, we get real uppity. When you start talking about mama, whether she's alive or dead.
That's great.
When you start baptizing mama after she's done dead, it gets real nasty. And see, what way does the average layperson have of knowing whether these religiously insane freakazoids have done this to one of our loved ones? How do we know, Susan? I mean, if they'll do it to the President of the United States, who won't they do it to?
The only way you could tell is go to the Mormon church and pull up your relative's name. You don't know. Because after the fiasco with the Holocaust victims, they no longer notify people.
So how does this go down? How does this go down, Susan? I understand why it would happen with Barack Obama. This was deliberately, this was a shiv deliberately delivered to the interstitial space between Barack Obama's ribs because he's Barack Obama. But in the ordinary course of everyday life, Is there somebody at the local tabernacle who just clips obituaries every day and they sit there and baptize people and send in names? How does this work?
They've got whole teams of people. And that's one of their jobs, is they go, it's part of their religious, practicing their religion. They baptize, they arrange for people to get baptized.
I would. I'd take a swing at somebody. I would. I would.
I am
a man of peace. I am a pacifist. Well, not quite a pacifist, but I am a man of peace. I am nonviolent. But this goes straight into the core of my lizard brain.
What I can't figure out is how.
Because that means, no, wait. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to cut you off, Susan. I got to work through this, though.
I understand.
This means that in the fictitious imaginary world of the Mormon afterlife, somebody's banging away on Barack Obama's mama.
Yep.
And she's some sort of polygamous, multi-wifed spouse to some dead Mormon godhead on planet Guloop, or what? Do I have it right, roughly?
Not necessarily with the polygamous bit, but more or less the rest of it.
They found her a nice white husband, probably.
Goes that far.
Susan, I tell you, you done opened up a can of.
I don't know why somebody hasn't sued the crap out of this church.
This is the intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Yeah. I don't know why they haven't been sued for megabucks.
Dear God. Well, Susan, thanks for getting us off to such a roaring start.
Yeah, isn't it nice to have a whole can of worms to dump on your head?
Yeah, now I'm all paranoided up, and I got to figure out whether or not they've done something to my mama.
Yeah, and by the way, check out your email from me. There's another piece.
Okay, will do.
I might in it.
All right.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye.
Let's keep it rolling. Sandra is with us. Hey, Sandra, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Just now about trying to strap myself in. They baptized Barack Obama's mama after she was dead, them Mormons did.
What?
Yeah.
Well, is she Mormon or something?
No, they just do that to people. Jews, dead Holocaust victims.
What, some sort of their own little ceremony?
Yeah, they baptize dead people by proxy.
Oh boy. Well, that is a strange. You know, yeah. I don't know what to say about that. That seems a bit invasive, sort of not really their business, right?
And they did it on the 4th day of June 2008 in Provo, Utah, which means they did it deliberately to be provocative.
You know what? I guess these religious entities have too much time. I think they should be stripped of the tax write-offs and, you know, call it a day.
I'm right there. Yeah.
You know, because it's all too weird. I don't like to pan anyone's faith, but they're way up north. Way up north, people.
Like up north in, you know, the quaternary or whatever orbit around the planet, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know what I mean? Out. Anyway, yeah, wow. When did that come to light?
Susan just told me about it. It's up on the website at headonradionetwork.com.
Wow.
You got to scroll down a little ways.
You know, that just seems so inappropriate and uncalled for.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was saying to Susan. As nonviolent as I am, I'd take a swing at somebody that did that to my mama.
Yeah, no, that's really... wow. God.
That ain't healthy.
No, it isn't right. Now, like I said, those people, don't they have enough to do with taking care of their own?
Well, I mean, they're out there taking constitutional rights away from gay folk in California. I mean, you'd think they got enough on their plate, but no.
Well, they got to with the gay folks, they got to replace the black people that they let in some levels. Aren't black people allowed to get...
Well, as of 1975 in the Mormon Church, black folks are fully human.
Right, I knew it was something.
I think I almost made you spray something through your nose there. I heard
it. No, I just, you know, because I do remember that being a bit of an issue. I always, salamanders, and I thought that was a part of it. Is that, am I wrong?
I think you are right.
You know, I just got bits and pieces of that madness, you know. It just sort of seeps in when you look.
You know, after a while, when I start thinking about Mormons or Scientologists, they all sort of run together for me, Sandra. One's from one planet, another one's from another. One's got Joseph Smith, the other one's got L. Ron Hubbard. They're both the seal of the prophets, you know.
Well, no, don't forget the Nation of Islam. They got spaceships and shit.
They got spaceships, too?
Yes. You know.
And here I am stuck on planet Earth just being all agnostic and stuff.
Well, I think Farrakhan's already on the planet. Ain't heard from him. I mean, I think he might be checking out of this world.
Transported out, did he?
Well, yeah, maybe with John Travolta's son. You know I'm wrong, but I can't help myself.
I understand. You know, sometimes when it's in you and it's in the situation.
Well, I just, you met John Travolta. That situation is really random, too. You know, I won't comment too much. But those people, because they have so much money, they can get away with, I don't want to say what I think he got away with, but it's too creepy, don't you think?
The passive child neglect resulting in death? Yeah.
You said it. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we don't want to give him any of those drugs that'll pump up his thetans.
Well, I'm not really, I have problems with the drugging too, but it sounds like this was a physiological problem. You see what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Seizures, doesn't that involve more than therapy?
Yeah, you can't talk therapy seizures out.
Right. So, if that's the case, you know, that's unconscionable. So, but that's just, it's just in those people, it's so weird.
But, yeah, you know, thank God the United States Constitution's First Amendment is nothing more than a life support system for the religion industry now.
Yeah, it is, because they took the Fourth, I on the First, that's pretty much gone, except for what you just...
Yeah.
Talked about, but yeah. Well, anyway, what I had called about, I was just sort of...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just take you off down the garden path, Sandra.
That story is hellish. I don't, you know. Now, that's the only thing I appreciate about Germany. They're like, you know what? You're a cult. Get out.
Well, you know what? I'm ready to play God Save the Queen this evening. I don't know if you've run across this or not.
Oh, that freak, yeah.
Yeah, the savage wiener is no longer welcome in Britain.
Yeah, well, you know, all those countries that don't, you know, they haven't been, like I say, strapped to a 18th century piece of paper, they tend to change up things. So now they're, they have a ban, a list of people that won't come.
Yeah, they published the names of 16 of 22 people who've been banned by the government since October. So that other folks could look at the list and say, well, this is the kind of people Britain doesn't want in the country. And one of them is Michael the Savage Wiener. I'm sure it would almost be worth it for me, here in about 11 minutes just to, the tune over and see if I can hear this man's little head exploding.
Well, yeah, you know, he's pathetic. I wish he could be banned from here, actually.
Banned from the planet. You know, go ahead. There's the boarding ramp over there. Get any spaceship will do, Michael.
He's still trying to recover from whatever close encounters he had with Ginsburg, huh?
Well, you know, strange things happen in Colorado hot tubs.
You know, ooh, why are all these weirdos...
Forget about it, Savage. It's
why
the hot tub.
Latent?
Say again?
Why are they all latent, you know?
Oh, sheesh. You know, just be who you are.
And I'm starting to worry about that Joe, the plumber. He seems to be a little bit too interested in it, too. You know, it's like, yo, dude.
Well, it's the word's queer. It's in the dictionary. It's why I'm going to use it. It's in the dictionary. My moral arbiter is the dictionary, a list of words in alphabetical order.
He is such a moron. It's just, I'm like, wow, okay.
Oh, yeah, he's you know, these clowns, these the ones that are really out there grabbing attention, the Joe the Scabs and the Michelle Bachmans and Marsha Blackburns and Eric Cantors and that whole, you know, Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions is not nearly getting the love that he deserves right now. Honest to Pete, I mean, this is another one of those Bob's head spins around Exorcist moments kind of thing. I mentioned it last night. I'm going to drive this thing like a little tack. The ranking Rapig Licking on the Senate Judiciary Committee, who is going to pass muster on Barack Obama's appointments of judicial nominees, is a man who once publicly remarked, and lots of people know about it, it was heard, it was said, it is verified, this is not speculation, old Bob ain't making nothing up. That man was once heard to say, you know, and this is the quote, you know, I used to kind of respect the Klan until I thought the Klan was kind of cool till I found out they smoked the dope.
Yeah, no, he's straight up racist, though. Jeff, you know that guy.
He's beyond racist. I mean, you know, Pat Buchanan is a racist, okay?
Yeah, okay, this guy.
But Jeff Sessions is a racist, and he is certifiably insane.
Yeah, and no, he's horrible. And the thing is that.
I mean, he's 2 seconds away from talking about precious bodily fluids, okay?
Right. No, straight. No, he is. He is insane, and he's just so disgusting. I'm sorry that those type of white, you know, white men from the South with access to what little there is to the South, they're so foul. Okay, they're absolutely horrible. Like that. My absolute worst is that Haley Barbour when he talks. I just ugh.
Oh, I don't think I've ever heard you make that noise before, Sandra.
Oh.
Ew.
Oh, God. It's just, I don't know if it's DNA, if I'm channeling ancestors. You understand what I'm saying? When I hear that man, I just think, good God, shut up.
Well, and here's the fun part. In support of his ascension to the minority head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, guess who came out and endorsed him today?
Oh, please. I don't even want to know who.
Trent Lott.
You know what? It's just some sort of bad joke. And it's just like, why? Like the Republican Party, the South can go the same way at this point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
It's just, why don't they just become just the way station for no unions ever, foreign companies and set up down there, and we can just kind of just put a big barbed wire fence around it. I know, it's horrible to say, but really, you know, what the hell? I mean, I think Obama got 2 votes, didn't he, from down there?
Maybe.
I'm not going to, like, bash the South.
Two? No, but it's no, where this is concerned, it's awful easy. I mean, my God, how long? Now, wait. How long has it been since you've heard this sort of old, freighted, charged language used? It also came out and is a fact that once upon a time, Jeff Sessions was heard talking about a civil rights lawyer who litigated voting rights cases, okay? Civil rights lawyer who litigated voting rights cases who was white. You know what Jeff Sessions said about him?
What?
He's a disgrace to his race.
Oh, that's right, yes. I mean, it's just sort of some sort of throwback to, I don't know what, 1950? Just horrible. And this man is going to be in a position to, not bring names up to the floor. Don't they have that rule within the committee? That if you have to have at least one opposition person okay the nominee to even be brought to the floor. Isn't that a problem if he can get them?
Well, yeah, I think it is. He can put the break. Sonia Sotomayor, whom we were talking about earlier, being, I guess, one of the front runners for the Supreme Court spot being vacated by David Souter?
Yeah.
Yeah, he can stop her in her tracks.
That's what I'm saying. And to me, I'm like, you know, this is, and it's a Democrat, so they don't seem able to say, you know, screw you, we're going to do whatever like the Republicans do when they're in that position. So is Obama going to be what? They're never going to get a nominee out of committee? Is that how it's going to be played?
It'll be a nominee that comes out of committee that is satisfactory to Jeff Sessions.
No, that's what I'm saying. You know, this can't happen.
Wait. Let's play the whole scenario out, though, Sandra. Because when that happens, and not if, but when that happens, and well, Harry Reid won't do this. You remember when Bill the Cat Killer Frist stood on the floor of the Senate and said, all we want is a simple up or down vote on this here nominee.
Oh, God, another one of those. This was some animal torturer, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, Bill the Cat Killer Frist was Senate Majority. We just want an up or down vote. That's all we want.
Yeah, no, I just like...
Well, see, Harry Reid doesn't have the stones to say something like that.
Well, he turned on his own party and let this fool keep his seniority. And what are we getting for it? Please explain.
No, see, I can't, because I can't see that we're getting anything for it. I mean, you know, what, a Laurel and Hardy handshake, an apple and a road map? I don't know what we get for Specter.
It's a joke. When I heard that, I thought, are you freaking kidding me that this dude gets to keep us in? You know, what about all the other people who've played the game? I mean, what the hell? What are we getting for that?
You know, look who's on Senate Judiciary. The chair is Pat Leahy, right?
Yeah.
So, Russ Feingold's on there. Is Specter going to have seniority over Russ Feingold?
Is he staying on that committee?
Well, maybe. No, I don't think he is. Okay, thank you. Well, thank you, Jesus.
No, and then he's giving, if he's keeping his seniority, is he going to be some chairman of somebody's committee?
Oh, yeah. Somebody going to lose a job in the Democratic Party to give that mugwump one.
Oh, God, because he's already going on and on about how he's not going to be, he'll vote the same way he won. It's like, well, then, you know what?
You're not a Democrat.
Good Lord, I'm like, you know, are you, you know, because they get 60 votes and they still won't be able to pass a goddamn thing, right?
No, because remember, even if Arlen Specter votes the right way, we got people like Democrat Ben Nelson and Democrat Blanche Lincoln and Democrat David Pryor and Democrat Mary Landrieu out there with the, you know, putting a stick in the spokes.
Yeah, no, I mean, the whole thing is just, you know, really quite disturbing. And what I did have called about was I was just laughing at, I don't know even how to describe this tendency, but it's Obama and his, like, half-ass attempt. He don't seem to understand where the hell he at. If he going to do something, go all the way. Now we're on to, like, the tax havens, right?
Yes.
It's like, yay. I'm sort of going, yeah, eh. You see what I'm saying? What the hell? You going to do it all the way or not? None of this prevaricating and saying this, that, or another. Tell them bitches you're going to take all the money and go after whatever else they hiding and call it a day. He'll get the support of every goddamn person in this country.
Yes, he will.
But he doesn't seem to be, you know, it's like, what is up? Along with the torture memos and the bank tests that they keep, now they're wavering when it's coming out. It's a bunch of bullshit, right?
That's as far as I can tell it.
Oh, it is, because if it was what it was, they would have came out with the diagnosis on Monday like they said. The fact that they're postponing it, it means they're negotiating.
Yeah.
It's a test, not a negotiation.
Exactly.
And it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, this is a joke number. I don't know how
much. Well, you know, but I mean, I think like you, Sandra, I think that he's got to come out with straight up, not watered, you know, I like my liquor straight. Okay?
None of this BS.
Yeah, I don't want it watered down, and I don't want an umbrella in it. I want it straight from the White House, because there's going to be enough water in the liquor when it gets to the Congress.
Well, listen, all that fool has to do is jump up Negro 1 minute, and then people be scared to death.
Oh, they already are. They already are. You might have gotten in a little bit late, Sandra, but, you know, here we are 105, 110 days into the Obama presidency, and I got a knuckle walking troglodyte in front of me in a little grocery store up the road. So, I hope people who voted for that Obama, I hope they're happy now with what they've done to the country.
You know what? I don't know.
What's he done? See, you and me, we're sitting here. It ain't what he's done, Sandra. It's what he has not done.
Yeah, no, these fools think that he's going to confiscate guns. I'm like, just stop giving away our monies to the bank. Just start there.
Nice start.
I'm just saying, we ain't asking for much, and it's not simple. It's not that complicated. It's pretty simple,
But look what happened in the Senate with a simple attempt to make the credit card companies stop stealing from us.
Oh, no. Didn't they pass something, though?
Yeah, but that whole cram-down thing got killed by 12 Democratic senators.
No, no. And you know what else with that, right? Not only did the cram-down lose, but the banks don't have to pay as much insurance to the FIDC or
FDIC?
Yeah. So basically, they got something else. They don't have to pay a premium for that money. So whatever the difference is, the taxpayers are going to cover that too. So,
well, that's what we're here for. We're just one great big sort of biomass ATM for the banking industry.
I have to take a real sinister approach, look at it, because what I'm seeing is, okay, we're going to support these zombies until the bitter end, and then when there really is no more money, we're going to say, sorry about that Social Security and Medicaid.
Yeah, now it's time for the American people to tighten their belts.
Right. This is what I see down five years or so, because this cycle can continue for a while. Look at Japan. I mean, it's a smaller scale, but same difference, right?
Yeah.
And it's really a worry because there don't seem to be no fight in this country. You know, in France, they're kidnapping folks. And getting big.
Yeah, and serving them very nice wine and some lovely hors d'oeuvres during the kidnapping, but it's
whatever.
Yeah.
They're still doing it.
You're right.
Here, we just, the workers here just sort of roll over, or they teabag because bankers, our corporate taxes may go up.
Yeah, but where the hell were the teabaggers during the cram down debate?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. It's a, it's a really sort of disturbing situation in this country where they are just screwing us, in all different types of positions, and they're not getting upset until it's raising corporate taxes or, that kind of stuff. And then they get all upset. These people don't have jobs. They don't have no health care. They have nothing. And they're out there.
Oh, and they are one payday away from abject disaster.
Yeah, it's just stunning, So, I don't really know, and I know it's becoming a broken record with me when I call in, but I'm just so stuck on what exactly Obama is doing.
I think, you have asked that question, and I have asked that question, and this whole audience has asked that question, Sandra.
Well, no,
and the only answer I can come to is that he's too smart by half.
Well, you have a couple of callers, Preston, I think. They come up with some, pretty clever worldview, and I can appreciate what they're saying. I mean, I see urgency, because I consider myself informed, especially with this financial.
Right, the barn is burning.
And it's just not looking, you can't have 6% contractions every quarter.
Oh no! We all of us feel like Lassie standing there barking our fool heads off in front of the farmhouse and the barn going up behind us. I think the dog needs water.
Yeah, I was looking at the Bank of the International Settlement, another international agency that monitors banks, and they said that the fourth quarter of last year had a drop of 31 trillion. That was what I'm saying? We're talking.
I didn't know there was that much money in the world.
Exactly. That's how much all the banks in the world lost in that. It was the biggest drop ever recorded. So you hear those sort of numbers, you're like, you know what? Something is really not right.
Let's see. That's a 31. Three zeros, three zeros, three zeros, three zeros, three zeros, and three zeros, right?
Right. And, you know, these are like international organizations that, you know, monitor the globalization. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's just not, I don't know. Maybe I'm just sort of an alarmist.
I really don't think you are, Sandra.
And it's sort of nibbling at the edges that Obama and his, that Summers, that creep who should really be fired.
Well, see, and you know, I'm halfway ashamed of myself because I know what a struggle it is, what a struggle addiction is for so many people. Hell, I'm a nicotine addict, and I can't get near quitting cigarettes, okay? Mm-hmm. I constantly find myself coming back to this theme, to this addiction theme, because what I'm seeing in the financial world, Sandra, to speak broadly and generally, is a system that's very happy with itself for finally going to the methadone clinic and getting off the heroin.
But we're still
addicted.
But they're also searching for another bubble. This is what you need to be aware of. It's like the bubbles provide so much money earning for the few that are doing it, they ain't going to let that go.
Well, right, and I tried to explain last night that, you know, if you look at what happened with Chrysler, basically, the Cerberus Holdings, the private equity firm, you know, Dan Quayle's one of the boss men there. Yeah, really.
Are you taking a haircut finally?
But they basically got out of this deal what they put into Chrysler in the first place. I'm sure that their accountants have already worked it all out for tax purposes, and it's a wash.
Okay, well, I thought the bondholders actually got hit on this one for once. I was wondering that because
they did that. Supposedly they did, but Sandra, come on, this is you and me. The House never loses.
Well, it looks to be the case. I don't know what to make of. I mean, they seem to be. Is GE being? Is that going into bankruptcy? What's the latest on that?
That I do not know. You're ahead of the curve on me on that.
Unfortunately, I have some stock in GM.
Look, okay, this is the only stock. This is the only stock tip I ever give.
No, it's too late.
I know it is. But in hard economic times, you want your money in tobacco companies, candy companies, and liquor companies. Because that all not only, you know, that's just steady, 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 but in hard economic times it goes climb, 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 climb.
Yeah, oh no, I'm just saying, I mean, it's just, you know, I didn't have that many shares, but it's, yeah.
Enough to get you in the door at the shareholders meeting and watch the non-democratic process take place.
Well, all I want to say, my point is that rest assured, I'll take a cut. Yeah, I'll get a hit.
Oh, yes, you will.
When it's all sorted out, I ain't going to have, you know, I'll be, you know, so ain't nobody going to get anything but those people on top all the time, right?
Right, because, well, that's why they're on top.
Yeah, well, no, they're on top because, you know.
But you know how bad it is? I was looking at our local newspaper today, and I happen to have a passing acquaintance with the auditor of this state. It's an elected office. He's a decent guy. He's been there forever. His daddy, it's practically a hereditary office at this point.
Mm.
And he's done a passing fair job, you know, sort of flies under the radar, doesn't take any big political positions, or just, you know, he's just the auditor. He's not the treasurer, but he did sort of announce, in the last day or so that, whoops the baby, we've had a whole lot of money, sort of, kind of disappear. And it turns out it was an elaborate fraud scheme that everything looked on the up and up until, you know, it went into one bank account, but it was like it was like a basketball hitting the backboard and it was just gone.
Okay, what?
Yeah, wow. we lost several millions of dollars of taxpayer money in an elaborate banking fraud scheme perpetrated by someone outside state government. You know, one of the banksters.
Wow. I mean, it's amazing when you look at, like, South Dakota, and I forget what other state, but these states that actually have, they're doing okay. I think Nebraska is another place pretty well.
Yeah.
Because they don't, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't know how states are supposed to function. I mean, credit's so tight, it's not flowing, right?
Right, it isn't.
I mean, that's part of the problem, but, oh, God. You know, another thing I was wondering if you heard, did you hear about that story about the uptick in antidepressant use and stuff like that?
Oh, yes.
It's like 73%.
It's huge. And the thing is, you know, these are all prescription medications. So does, and the question, you know, I saw that story just sort of floated past my consciousness. And the first thing that I asked myself is this because more people are showing symptoms, or is this because, there are more golf vacations being given to more doctors to prescribe more medicine? Because we know that the drug companies do that.
Oh, no. They are like, they're talking as if it's, you know, totally an increase in the pharmaceuticals, I thought.
Well, it is, but what I'm saying is, you know, how that stuff gets prescribed is entirely another matter.
Well, you're saying that because the doctors are being given sweetheart deals to...
Well, because, you know, probably, you know, the pharma, big pharma took a lick in all of this. Big pharma's lost money too, so they're going to try to recoup it on the back of somebody's biochemistry. Because what the pharmaceutical companies do is they will, it's supposed to be illegal, but it gets done all the time. I mean, there are case after case after case of this. The pharmaceutical industry, you know, those guys with the big briefcases that walk in and go in front of you when you're waiting for your doctor appointment at hour number three?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Samples, that's what they call them. Well, they've got these programs where they say, well, you know, Dr. Schmendrick, you're obviously an expert in prescribing Floplof, and we want you to come and deliver a lecture for 15 minutes in the Bahamas on how effective Floplof has been for your patients. Now, because of the way this is scheduled, you'll have to be there 5 days before the lecture and 3 days after in the Bahamas. But you're there as a consultant. Do you understand, doctor? Bring your golf clubs.
Oh, God.
And so that makes the doctor that, hey, you know what? You look like you're feeling a little down today. You need Floplof. You know, it's what you get in a for-profit medical system.
Oh, but single payer is still being...
Oh, no, that's like Canada and Britain, and, you know, people are dying in the streets there.
That would be here.
Yeah. But not in Eric Cantor's twisted little, you know, acid-laden world.
Unbelievable. Well, listen, I'll leave you to it.
Yeah, it's always a joy, Sandra.
A joy, yes.
Drop by your local tabernacle and make sure nobody's baptized your mama.
Oh, hell, God. Thank you for that.
Hey, look, you know, all we've got in common is our misery, and the least we can do is share it.
Exactly. All right, have a good evening.
See you, Sandra. Bye now. And we will keep rolling. Hey, welcome to the program. Hey, Juanita.
What if we could bring back Shanghai, or do they still do that?
I'd be happy with Tarn and Feathering.
For Haley Barbour. Just for the way he talks, if nothing else. I just...
Yeah, he is a mealy-mouthed sick one, isn't he?
But he's such a jerk along with it.
Oh, that, yeah, sure.
A monstrosity of a jerk.
There we go. Yeah, now you're working the side of the street.
Yeah. But you know, Bob, sometimes I listen to people like that, and I think, I sound like that myself sometimes.
No, never, not on your worst day.
Well, thank you, Bob. Thank you. You're right.
I mean, you know, there's dialect, and there's accent, and then there's mean. I mean, and a classic case in point of mean, you know, Sandra and I were talking about good old Jeff Sessions, Senator from Alabama.
Oh, yeah. I'm learning more and more about that guy.
Let's see. Let's see. There's a gentleman by the name of Thomas Figures. Okay. He is a former U.S. assistant attorney in Alabama. He also happens to be black. And this is the guy that that Jeff Sessions told used to think the Klan was pretty cool till he found out they was pot smokers.
Yeah.
And then from time to time, Sessions referred to him as boy.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And then one day he caught Figures correcting one of the secretaries on her work, and he pulled him aside and says, "Boy, you need to be careful what you say to white folks." And this man is going to sit in judgment
of judicial nominees. Well, he had been nominated a while back for to be some kind of judge.
Oh, he was. He was.
That was talking, and he got nominated out of it. He didn't get it. I'm talking about for the U.S. somewhere.
Yeah. No, Jeff Sessions was nominated to be a United States District Judge. And it was during his confirmation hearings that all this stuff took place.
Yeah, that would be interesting to hear.
Oh, and it's all out there. You can can find it. Trying to see. Last night, if you go to MSNBC. Last night, Rachel Maddow aired some of the video clips from that 1986 confirmation hearing. See, that saint of a human, Saint Ronnie Reagan, nominated this unreconstructed old racist SOB to sit on the federal bench, and it got shot down. And then he winds himself up as a senator in some sort of macabre Southern Gothic the sort of irony. And winds up in a position to keep justice from marching into the 21st century under Barack Obama's nominations.
Now, he's got a different kind of annoying Southern accent than Haley Barbour, but nevertheless.
Jeff Sessions is real mush mouth.
Yeah.
He's one of these.
Yeah.
I don't know, he was a U.S. attorney in the Southern District of Alabama, and I don't know how anybody ever sat through a jury trial with him because, I mean, I'm tuned into the Southern accent. I love the Southern accent.
Yeah.
But Jeff Sessions would just destroy me. They'd have to prop me up.
A lot of it is the way they act. You know, most of it is, I don't know. But it does irritate.
You mean that hypocritical holier-than-thou business?
Yeah.
That they've got off to a T?
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
One reason I wanted to call was about this guy. I think I sent you an email about this talk show host in Orlando.
Yes, I saw that last night. I'm so glad you reminded me.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those moments where the universe just gets a little justice going on.
And I told my son, I said, I hope he's a right wing. And he said, oh, yeah. He's a biker.
Yeah, well, he had him a bunch of cool tattoos.
But did you see his 911 call?
No, I didn't go that far.
Well, they got a little bit of it. I just want to read this little part of it. I need an ambulance right away. And guy said, what's going on? Well, I was playing with a gun I didn't know was loaded. It went off, and I've hit my wife. Dispatcher says, okay. It's in the head. She's all right. It just cut her skin. She's bleeding really bad. Hurry, hurry. And a woman's still in the hospital. And my son said that what he heard it was the guy came in and the dog was supposed to have been lost, and he got the dog. He got mad, and he was holding the dog up by his hind legs and playing around with that gun and shooting. This is what he said. He said he was shooting at the dog. And it hit the dog and then hit his wife. But
wow, talk about your magic bullet theory.
Yeah. His lawyer said he didn't mean to hurt anyone. It's just a tragic accident.
It is. It's a tragic accident.
But he was on probation for a reckless driving charge. And he was supposed to go out, anybody that knows about these things about bikers, he was supposed to be leading on this last Saturday, a charity motorcycle ride as part of the annual Miss Monster Festival. And he's also had a commentary on My Fox Orlando, weekly video commentary.
Then he's a right winger.
And the dog might lose its leg. But he didn't mean any harm.
No, it's the gun's fault. It's the gun's fault. He ain't right.
Have you ever heard, there's an old song, probably made in the early 1900s, called I Didn't Know the Gun Was Loaded, and I'm So Sorry, My Friend. I Didn't Know the Gun Was Loaded, and I'll Never Ever Do It Again. It's supposed to be, you know, like a funny song. The guy goes around shooting. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what it reminds me of. He said, I didn't know the gun was loaded. I was just playing with it.
And see, that I see stories like that. It runs real close to home because, you know, my family lived through one of those situations. Well, most of my family lived
through
it.
You about your brother?
Yeah. Didn't know the gun was loaded. Didn't know the gun was loaded. And those, you know, those are honestly tragic situations, but there is an element, and look, I'll just say it. There's an element of stupid involved too. Anytime one of those things happen, it's a gun. You know, I mean, even the NRA, with whom I profoundly disagree, Juanita,
it's a licensed gun.
Yeah, even the NRA. Okay. Even the NRA will say that the first rule of handling a gun is to always assume that the gun is loaded, never pointed at anything or anyone.
Mm-hmm. We had an epidemic.
How drunk was this guy? Has that come out yet? Was he? And what was his name? I can't find the article.
Okay, I got it here. It's something Burke, Shannon Burke. B-U-R-K. Of course, he's lost his job.
Yeah.
Is it? I think it's Serial Radio.
Well, he worked for Clear Channel.
Yeah, Clear. They're the ones that fired him.
So
he's in jail because he was on. He was out. You know, because of that.
Well, he's finally got out of jail.
He did.
Yeah, he did. He posted bond. Let's see.
Is his wife out of the hospital yet?
I'm looking there. Okay. Oh, it gets funner. Burke, 43, of Altamont Springs, posted bond on charges related to the shooting, but remained in lockup at the Seminole County Jail because of a probation violation for a DUI in Orange County. Burke's lawyer filed a motion Monday for bond to be set in Orange County. Said the shooting was all an accident. Didn't know the gun was loaded. During an argument, the gun accidentally discharged. I have never seen a gun accidentally discharge, except for a few occasions involving really, really crappy, cheap Chinese AK-47s.
Yeah. I've heard that excuse before, too.
And here's the fun part, though. He had a DUI in Orange County, Florida, in 2007, and as part of his probation, wasn't even supposed to have a gun in his possession.
Well, what was he doing coming home? Was he going out looking for the dog with a gun? And the way Charles...
Well, see, that's what I want to... Yeah, how drunk was this guy? This is one of those
yeah.
hey, you know,
and
hey,
the
y'all,
he
watch this.
That dog up by his hind legs. That's reminded me of that guy's son, that Hornsby son. No, what's his name?
Oh, y'all, you mean... No, radical fundamentalist cleric Mike Huckabee?
Yeah, the one that his son gutted the dog.
Gutted a dog hanging in a tree and shot it. Yeah, just for the heck of it.
It was just for fun.
Yeah.
He was just having good old-fashioned fun.
That's just boys being boys.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, let's see. According to police documents, Shannon Burke returned to his Altamont Springs home, find that his wife's dog was loose. Angry, he picked up the dog while holding... It wasn't, like, loose in the neighborhood. It was loose in the house. He picked up the dog while holding a .40-caliber gun, and while waving the gun at the dog, this is a gun, dog! What kind of moron is this?
Yeah.
The weapon discharged while he's waving the... you know what? I've handled .40-caliber semi-automatic handguns. I've got a semi-automatic handgun. You can shake the BGA jabbers out of it, Juanita. Ain't going off.
Uh-huh.
somewhere along the way. Of course, he's probably one of these brave macho men with a Glock. And, of course, those things don't have safeties on them. They've just got sort of a set trigger and then a set trigger within the trigger.
He had a safety on them.
No, real men don't have safeties.
No, uh-uh.
So here we go. While waving the gun at the dog, the weapon discharged with the bullet entering the dog's leg and then grazing his wife's head. The bullet then bounced around the room, bing, 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 according to Bert.
It bounced around the room?
Yeah.
Did it really?
Yeah, bouncing bullets.
Oh, gosh. That's a new
Yeah, Richard Hornsby is Burke's lawyer. He said, he did not mean to hurt anyone. It's just a tragic accident.
Well, that's not what they said at the county.
No. Lieutenant James Clark with the Seminole County Sheriff's Department said, there's no excuse. Whether or not they knew it was unloaded or not, an accident or not, the bottom line is we have an individual in an argument with his wife, and he has a gun in his hand. He endangered everybody with his carelessness.
Right.
And, you know, if it was an apartment or something like that, you know, where you share walls and stuff, 40 caliber round will penetrate walls.
We've had that happen here, you know, where people got shot. They were innocent. They'd just be maybe standing in the doorway. Or like you said, it goes through the thin wall. I had an aunt that a bullet missed her by inches in her own bedroom. She was making the bed, and this thing went bing.
And once you've heard that sound, you never forget it. And just as an example, I will never forget. It was a beautiful, probably Saturday or Sunday afternoon, many years ago now. The babies were all small. I was all proud of myself because I'd gone down and got them a swing set. And I got the thing out of the box, and I wasn't so proud anymore because it was just complicated as heck. And I'm sitting there laying it all out, trying to figure out how it all goes together.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting there, you know, just sitting there with my legs crossed on the grass, you know, looking at the instructions, trying to pull this piece, that piece. And all of a sudden, something sounds like the angriest bee I ever heard goes, pew, past my head.
Wow.
And I, what? And then I hear crack. A couple more times. And the idiot next door is out, you know, drinking his Sunday 12 pack and sighting in the .22 past my head.
Oh, those things go far, travel far. Who does he think he is? Hussein?
Yeah, but of course, yeah. Again, you know, we talked a little bit last night about why commercial buggy whip terrestrial radio is dying. Well, here's another example why. Clear Channel paid this guy some kind of money.
I'm sure.
To be on the radio for Real Radio 104.1, The Shannon Burke Show, 11 to 3, every Monday through Friday. He's out there doing My Fox video dispatches.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, the right wing lays down for him and does everything in its power to empower him so that he can get all, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Get all rad and red with his gun and his dog and the hind leg, and it went off. Let's see if this thing will play.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute.
Oh, okay.
Got to get through the stupid ad first, but yeah. No, wait, we're still in the ad.
By the way.
Oh, here we go. Wait. Okay. Come on. Okay, it'll be here in a minute.
A local radio talk show host who actually called 911 on himself.
Here's his mugshot. Shannon Burke works for Real Radio 104.1. Cops say he got into an argument with his wife.
Oh, yeah, and the general manager and the program director are just loving this free PR. This may be the exception to the rule, Juanita, that there's no such thing as bad PR. But anyway.
Yeah,
this is from Fox 35 News.
Yeah.
Threatened to shoot their dog, and the bullet went through the animal, hitting her in the head.
Yep, I need an ambulance right away.
And what's going on there?
I was playing with a gun. I didn't know it was loaded. It went off, and I've hit my wife.
Okay.
She's in the head. She's okay. All right. It just cut her skin, and she's bleeding really bad.
Okay, hold on. Let me
Hurry. She's alert, but she's getting woozy. Please hurry.
Burke, well,
is it just me, or is that, does he sound like he's messed up a little bit?
Uh-huh. Just a wee bit.
Hurry.
Yeah.
You know, that's a guy that's been up close and personal with a little...
She's got her skin, but she's bleeding really bad.
Hurry. I mean, that, you know, that's a guy who's been up close and personal with a little bit of rock. Yeah.
But he, Well, that's a... We got a lot of those guys.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing. This is a passing thing. It'll, you know... He'll go to some therapy or some such, and he'll take a couple of handgun safety courses, and then there'll be another right wing oriented commercial radio station, the Shannon Burke Show, Shannon Burke, gosh oh golly gee Shannon Burke, we can't wait to put you back on the air, you right wing crazed biker gun toting dog shooting wife grazing fool, you're gonna be great in afternoon drive. Hey.
I wanted to mention a little something you were talking about, the Mormons. I found something interesting on Marie Osmond. I heard her a few months ago on Larry King, and she has moved to Los Angeles. She says she never, ever wants to live in Salt Lake City anymore. Now, that's something strange went on, ain't it?
I wonder if it has anything to do with the Mormons' attack on marriage and stuff. You know, Marie turns 50 this year. That really blows my mind.
Well, she, you know, got divorced again.
Yeah, the Mormons don't cotton to that too much. Oh, by the way, I got to share an email with you that just came in before we get too far away from Shannon Burke, Juanita. Our buddy David in Tennessee just wrote in and said, I spent about 30 minutes digging into that gooner from Florida talk radio. I'll bet you $100 to a stale donut that Shannon Burke gooner is a juice freak. Yep. Steroid consumer. I worked with one for 3 years, and the guy matches every physical and emotional key element required. So maybe I was wrong thinking he was, all messed up or was into the crack or something. No, maybe he's just juiced on roids. And hurry.
Yeah, it could be.
Because he certainly has the look.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, are we typecasting? Am I profiling? I think I am.
Now, we do have one talk show host that is really good. I think he's from Orlando or Winter Park, and I can't think of his name, but he's definitely our left winger. He's been on for quite a while, too, and he said he speaks his mind, believe me. But, it just occurred to me today, and I read your article in... Common Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
It was excellent, Bob.
Oh, thank you.
I tell my son, I said, boy, that guy can write. And I said, you know, it seems like the people that we have on our side, you know, they're just exquisite in the way that they can bring something out and, you know, like, and make it simplistic, you know, where even I can understand it. Don't have to dig too deep to understand it. But on the other side, they're just nasty. Is it because they have no talent for anything else? And they're playing along to what the people want to hear.
All of right wing radio, Juanita, is reactionary and is designed to prey on the lowest common denominator of the worst of human, human nature.
That exactly. Pretty much exactly.
Because, see, right-wingers don't have the brain power to actually do any serious introspection and examination of their own lives, Juanita. So, as a consequence, right-wingers instead have to look outside to find a they, a them, an other, to blame. You know, the American economy couldn't possibly be going down the toilet or have gone down the toilet as a result of, you know, right-wing-oriented supply side trickle down, the conservative deregulatory predatory the anarcho-Randian the economic, no, that couldn't be it, because you know we're a Christian nation, so it's got to be them Mexicans or them gays or them atheists or them liberals.
And I think that somewhere in the Old Testament it says, if you're guilty of one thing, you're guilty of them all. There's nobody that can obey all those rules. There's nobody.
No. I think that's the living embodiment of the idea that rules were made to be broken.
Yeah, maybe so, yeah. But, I mean, you know, I believe in God, and he said, you know, he's, You're gonna have to pay for that someday, thinking that you're so good and these other people are so wrong, because there's none of us.
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Yeah. I love the people say, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. Well, I'll go ahead and I'll do everything.
American by birth, Christian by the grace of God.
Yeah. But anyway, that's a long story. But
I'm so glad you brought up. I'm so glad you reminded me of the Shannon Burke story. My heavenly day.
Yeah, I just had to call up when I saw more about it.
Honest to Pete, Juanita, it's like the story that Susan brought us at the beginning of the program with the Mormons posthumously baptizing Barack Obama's mama. This one.
Somebody used to call into you talking about that.
News Ninja Gene has told us a little bit about it from time to time. I think he was.
He said it when he was little. He was grown up in that, and he was smaller, and he had to be a.
Yeah, he was a proxy baptizer. Right.
Who was it?
That was News Ninja Gene. You know, Gene, the News Ninja?
Yeah. I haven't heard of him in a long time.
That story, he's out there. I hear from him every day, and he's in the chat room.
Tell him to call in. I'm going to hear from him.
I think you just did. But that story was shocking enough. And then you remind me of this Shannon Burke thing, and the reality of Shannon Burke, Juanita. It's not. And these things have become so routinely. Another crazy guy in Florida went off with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And we've lost the ability to have our consciences shocked by such behavior. But the fact that, just sort of crawl around inside that mindset for a minute or two and answer the question, how does that happen? How does that, to turn a colloquial phrase, how does that go down?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get so enraged that you grab a dog by its hind leg and hold the poor little squalling thing up by its hind leg, and you're absolutely enraged, and you're flinging a handgun around, and your wife is screaming, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And no, the gun does not just go off. You're so whacked out of your mind in your little right-wing twisted place that you shoot the dog through the leg and the bullet goes through the dog. It's a high velocity, high penetration round. It goes through the dog's leg and it hits your wife in the head and then bing, 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 bing. I mean, what does he live in? A solid steel room?
I don't know.
Bullet's ricocheting all over the place? I mean, I'm just trying to use a little bit of
logic?
No. Actually, I'm trying to use a poet's eye or a writer's eye or a cinematographer's eye or a photographer's eye to see this situation in my brain, in my mind.
I think a lot of it is they get away with it for so long and they don't think of the consequences of anything.
But I guess this is the ultimate question I'm asking. Who failed Shannon Burke in the past so that he came to believe that waving guns around inside your house and flinging dogs about by their hind legs is in any wise, in any world, in any way, acceptable conduct for a human adult?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not yelling at you, you understand. This just slays me.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I don't know if it's this way everywhere, but down here, when you watch the local news, it's this murder, that murder.
Oh, it's a parade.
That abduction.
Yeah, it's a parade of idiots, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a constant thing. We've had another young girl abducted. You know, it's just a lot that you can't keep up with all of that stuff. It's just so much of it. And yet
right wingers never sit down and say, hey, look at everything that's happening in our state here in Florida. And we've owned this joint for the years now. And we got everything we wanted. We passed all our laws. We got our laws against the gays getting married. We got laws that allow people to have guns at birthday parties. We got every right wing dream law that they've ever, their twisted little minds have ever concocted. And look at the madhouse that we live in.
Well, but see, they blame us. It's, you know, our fault. They're not the fault. You know, it's like Susan.
Oh, it never is.
Remember Susan Smith, and Newt said, oh, well, you know, another left-wing people. Well, her stepfather was heavily right-wing Christian, and he was having to do with her.
Oh, yeah, he sexually abused her from the time she had her first period.
Yeah. So, you know, but they do. They blame us. Just like, I'm so proud of you saying what you did to that guy. That was great. I bet you he never thought anybody would say anything like that. He just couldn't believe anybody.
He looked at me like...
would think that way.
Well, I kid you not. He looked at me like he wasn't sure I was really white.
Right. He probably never thought he'd hear that, you know, not in the South. But it just... like my friend, you know, has never called me again, and that's fine with me now. I've been very satisfied with it. When she said that, well, now we got to Barack Obama, and he's against everything we stand for here in the United States. Oh, I said, oh, my God. You know, what do you stand for? Listen to all that talk, you know, all that right-wing talk from the so-called Christian TV stations. I know exactly where it's coming from, and the talk is the talking points. That's what gets me. They come out with these talking points, and you say, oh, my God, think for yourself. That's why she got so mad at me, because I told her, I said, think for yourself. You're deluded.
Yeah, that's mighty hard to do.
I had to say it. And I'm glad I did. I mean, but... it's just a lot of people, and they believe whatever they're told as long as it suits their fancy. It goes in according to what they did. You know, she believes in the... And another thing that made her mad was that I said, well, if he's so bad, maybe he's the Antichrist, and we'll... You know, y'all are trying to start the Armageddon War, so why not let the Antichrist come on in? I said, if it's Barack Obama, let him go ahead, and then you can go up in the sky with your clothes off. And she said, well, we'll have on spiritual clothes.
I knew it. She wasn't going to take issue with him being the Antichrist. She was going to take issue with whether she'd be dressed or not. Oh, I knew it.
Yeah. And I said, if you can have spiritual clothes, I said, you can have a spiritual body to go up in, too. I said, your body and your clothes are made out of the same thing. When it comes down to the long run,
it's all matter.
That
physics just keeps getting in the way.
But it, you know, it insult to me. It's insulting them people talking like that. I never used to hear it say anything like that. They just get more. It's like the Republicans. They just get more and more ridiculous.
You're absolutely right.
To me, it's a mockery of God.
They do it. They do it every time they walk into church.
Yeah, and Jesus told the Pharisees. He said, "You proselytize, and those that you proselytize, you make them worse devils than you are."
Yeah, but you know what? That's another one that never exactly crossed anybody's mind, because I'm still sitting on this story from Al Jazeera where they stone-busted the United States Army or Air Force or whatever over in Afghanistan, out there actively a witnessing and passing out Bibles in Pashtun.
Well, you know where
and,
that comes from. They've already Christianized the Iraq, so now they can Christianize them. They think, because my friend exactly her quotes. And I said, no, the Christians that they had there originally, they're having to flee the country.
Yeah, they're not there anymore. But the fundies are just as happy about that, Juanita, because they didn't want them there in the first place because they weren't fundies. They didn't believe the right way.
Right, there you go. Just like they don't want us in this country.
See, and I'm not trying to. Horn intern Junior Grade Ferg is sitting over here with his headphones on. And I've talked to him about this particular topic, Juanita, and maybe you can opine. He doesn't have a microphone or anything, but he's listening. You can talk to him. They've been trying to get children in his school to attend meetings of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and I know about this group. I know that they're a bunch of fundamentalist, evangelical. It's a cult is what
it
is.
It is. It is. It really is.
Okay, Juanita's telling you, Ferg, it's a cult. Tell him what. Testify, sister.
Well, I didn't know I was going to be called on, brother.
Just speak as the Spirit inspires you.
Well, you got to think for your own self. God don't want you to listen to these other people, and they will steer you in the wrong way. They will get you confused as what is really real.
And if they think that Jesus has anything to do with putting a basketball through a hoop or scoring a touchdown or hitting a home run or throwing a no-hitter or spiking a volleyball, they are sadly deluded, are they not, Juanita?
Well, I agree with that, yeah.
You know,
but it goes further than that. They're trying to, they're proselytizing.
Yes.
In the way they think you're supposed to.
They want him in their little cult.
Yeah.
So
it's sad. It's under the name of Christianity, but it's not any better than the Moonies or you know the way the Moonies used to do and probably still do.
Right.
Don't hear about
cults
it.
is cults.
Yeah.
Whether it's David Koresh, the Southern Baptist Convention, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the Jim Jones in Guyana, the Moonies, the Hare Krishnas, cults is cults.
Right.
Frankly, the Republican Party at this point, insofar as it's been pressed down and shaken together and squished down into that hard little dense cancerous little knot that it is, they're no longer a viable national political party. The Republican Party, Juanita, is now a cult.
Well, I happened to pop in on when they were talking about Jack Kent on C-SPAN, and I guess I missed the part where he passed away, but from the way they were talking, I assumed that that's what happened, and I found out later it was. And a lot of the people that called in were Republicans, even that nasty old woman from Alabama. That's the nicest I ever heard her talk. But anyway, they were all regretting what had been done, and they just about all of them said, the Republicans said that the right-wingers had messed up their party.
Well, and you know they're all right hateful mad at Arlen Specter now.
Oh yeah.
Because Arlen Specter said, let's see, as a matter of principle, I'm becoming much more comfortable with the Democrats' approach, and one of the items that I'm working on is funding for medical research. If this is Arlen Specter talking, if we had pursued what President Nixon, of course it has to be a Republican, President Nixon declared in 1970 as the war on cancer, we would have cured many strains. And this is the part that just sent the little hardcore fundy, evangelical, right-wing corporatist, you know, cult members crazy. I think Jack Kemp would be alive today. And that research has saved or prolonged many lives, including mine.
That's what he was
and Lord,
about.
Oh, the right wing is I mean, they are having kittens with crocheted tails, Juanita.
Yeah.
I mean, they are having a purple polka dotted blue screaming hissy over there. He's trying to politicize the death of a great American like Jack Kemp.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's been in most of your church services.
Oh, yeah.
Because so many of them are right-wing.
Well, it's like this thing that was pointed out to me, what was it, last night? That was absolutely mind-boggling. This thing where Michelle Bachmann is just making up stuff on the floor of the House that George Washington says but didn't say, and using it to smear Barack Obama.
Does she ever say that she was wrong? When did you
ever hear a repiglickin admit to being wrong? How many times was George W. Dim Leader Bush asked, "Can you think of any mistake you've ever made?" Not really, not right now. Not off the cuff.
I'm sure I'll think of something later.
Shouldn't have ate that pretzel. I hated waking up with Barney licking my face. I mean, I seen him the other day and he was eating some poo. And I just didn't like thinking about that. I didn't like knowing where his face had been and him licking me after I was choking on that pretzel.
Well, that was something I saw on Buzzflash, and I didn't read it about it, but something about Dick Cheney thinking that somebody was going to poison him. Oh, it's a little clip on there. I didn't listen to it. You heard anything about that?
No, but it doesn't surprise me in the least, Juanita. The Republican Party is collectively running around the country screaming, "Help, help, the paranoids are coming."
Well, maybe that happened when he was in that big old travel trailer on the plane when he went overseas, when he was still running the country.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, a note in from our buddy David in Tennessee with your comments about the spiritual clothing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, David in Tennessee wants you to know that you are the clear-cut winner of tonight's premium-level toaster. You get the toaster tonight, Juanita. That would be the Braun toaster, 4 slices in the limited edition pearlescent medium blue metallic. Yeah, you
have a toasting good time.
You can toast bagels and that thick sliced Texas toast. Woo! Oh, it's going to be a high time at Shea Juanita tonight.
You're going to be jealous of me. Well, I'm honored and delighted, David.
And he was thrilled to award it. Just tickled plum pink.
Yeah.
Well, Juanita, this has been a fun one, my dear. This has just been wonderful.
Okay, you take care.
All right, and thanks.
And I'm sorry I didn't have anything better advice for Junior.
No, you did.
I can't remember Ferg.
Juanita, you did just fine. Sometimes if it comes from somebody who's not bad, it has a little bit more reality to it.
Just tell him to think for himself.
Hold on. Hang on a minute. Say it again, Ferg.
Just tell him to be sure he thinks for himself, you know, if he does get involved in any of it.
You opened my eyes, Juanita.
Did you hear that? He said you opened.
No,
He said you opened my eyes.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
Well, Juanita, you have yourself a wonderful evening.
Okay, you too.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye now. View correspondent calling from the wilds, and I do mean wilds of wild, wild central Florida. That's our pal Juanita. Holding the fort on sanity in a state that it's just gone. I mean, it's like they're running butt-naked crazy down there. It really is. And, you know, I'm sure our pal Cossack could say the same thing. Peter Godbold lives in North Florida. He knows. There's Vince over in Jacksonville. He knows. That's a wild place. I mean, how are you going to take your gun with you to Florida? Because I wouldn't go unarmed, but that's because, you know, I'm a crazy, you know, gun-toting liberal. But anyway, this is one of those where did it go kind of moments. That's the first 2 hours of the program. So we'll take a little break. Coming up, it being Tuesday and everything, we have the Green News Report from our pals Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. They do a marvelous job. Let's see, what's on the what is on the agenda? Something nightmarish. Oh, here it is. Yeah, some environmental nightmare. Mercury in tuna. Well, I guess mercury in tuna is better than a tuna in a mercury, because a tuna in a mercury could get out of control. Next thing you know, he's driving through the cafeteria window. But, yeah, the mercury in tuna, gunning for wolves in Idaho. That's all coming up on Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen's Green News Report tonight on the Horn. You are listening to America's listener-supported activist radio network. You are listening to the Horn. You know how to get in touch with the program, 304-658-3333 on your nickel. If you would need to go toll-free, it's 877-443-2366. We will be right back after a short intermission. Hey, Shannon Burke. No, wrong song. Dadgummit. Okay, that was a perfect break, too. Just a minute. I got to get this right. You can't do a shout out dedication and then have the wrong tune. Yeah, it was, but that wasn't what I wanted. Let's see. Here we go. Yeah, this is for you, Shannon Burke.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, May 5th, 2009.
More mercury in tuna. Sorry, Charlie. Solar panels. Size does matter. And Idaho, gunning for wolves.
Welcome to our new network affiliate, RootsUpRadio.com. Glad to have you on board. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this is your Green News Report. All right, she's the Doyen of Green News. Here's Desi Doyen.
Well, for several years, the FDA has warned that women and children should avoid eating certain species of fish, like tuna, due to toxic levels of mercury that cause neurological defects. And now, a new federal study establishes for the first time how mercury from global air pollution contaminates our seafood.
How does global mercury from air pollution contaminate our seafood?
Well, the U.S. Geological Survey says airborne mercury emitted from coal-fired power plants ends up on the ocean floor, where it's taken up when algae decomposes to become toxic methylmercury, which is a neurotoxin, and then it rapidly accumulates up the food chain to humans.
Wow, scientific. My brain is melting. So these are not clean coal technology plants.
Definitely
that are firing.
Not.
They're firing off the stuff. It's getting into the water, into the ocean. Gets into the fish.
And it gets into the fish that then accumulates up the food chain, which we then eat, and then pregnant women and children have to avoid eating tuna and certain other types of species of fish because of the neurotoxin effects of methylmercury. Now, the surprising thing about this study is that they discovered that most of the methylmercury contamination appears to come from Asia and then is spread throughout the world on ocean currents. So the Obama administration says this demonstrates the need for global emissions reductions, especially in China and India. And the methylmercury contamination is accelerating. The study showed that mercury levels since in 2006 were 30% higher from the mid-90s.
So up till now, we knew we had found the mercury in the fish, didn't know how it had gotten there.
We didn't know the process by which it becomes this toxic methylmercury. Now we know.
Now we know.
In a related study, a federal court has ruled a New Jersey woman has the right to sue the manufacturer of canned tuna for failing to warn her that she could get mercury poison from eating their tuna. What's most interesting about this case is that the Environmental Protection Agency scathingly attacked the FDA in court filings because in the final weeks of the Bush administration, the FDA had revisited those dietary guidelines and effectively said, fish is good for you, so don't worry about that little mercury contamination thingy on the side.
Another one of those midnight decisions
from the Bush administration.
Yes.
The EPA said the FDA's last-minute assessment had serious scientific flaws. It's a really interesting analysis. We have it linked on our website at greennews.bradblog.com. A university professor at the University of Illinois has come up with a revolutionary solar cell that is both tiny and flexible. Thin-film solar panels that can bend like 35-millimeter film have been ramping up production for use on large-scale objects, but this new material prints these ultra-thin, transparent solar cell circuitry right onto plastic, cloth, or other materials, and it provides a mobile solar cell. They're so thin and so flexible they can be rolled around a pencil. The technology has been licensed to a semiconductor company in Durham, North Carolina, and they say they're planning to manufacture in the United States within a year. And this small size and flexibility means it's something that could be applied to windows, car roofs, even a T-shirt.
Clothing?
You can walk around.
That's
clothing.
What I wanted to know. So I can put it on my T-shirt, power up my cell phone or my computer. While I walk.
Indeed. The world's largest solar power plant is now open in Spain. It's a Tower of Power, a solar thermal power plant in which over 1,000 mirrors concentrate the sun's energy onto a tower that contains a superheated synthetic liquid, which boils boils water to generate steam. And the steam turns turbines that generate electricity. Spain and Germany are the two leading solar producers, even though, surprisingly, Germany is at the same latitude as Alaska. They actually have more solar power currently in use today in their country than we do in the United States.
In the entirety of the United States, Germany already has more?
Yes.
And they're at the same latitude with Alaska?
Yes, and they have clouds lots of the time.
Because you don't think of Alaska as a place, a great place for solar energy.
Right, you don't.
But it is.
In Germany it is.
I see.
Wolves in the Northern Rockies and the Great Lakes are officially off the endangered species list and can now be legally hunted as of Monday.
Speaking of Alaska, Sarah Palin's delighted about this news, I'm guessing, right?
Well, these are wolves in the Northern Rockies and the Great Lakes. Now, wolves in northern Wyoming do remain protected for now. The wolves were listed as endangered all the way back in 1974 after decades of hunting and government-sponsored poisoning nearly erased them from the lower 48 states. Federal officials say the wolf population in the Rockies is now robust enough to merit the delisting, and they're turning over full control to the states. Environmental groups have criticized these states' management plans, particularly in Idaho, where they've already announced they have a plan to kill enough wolves to reduce the population to just above the endangered level again.
Oh, man. So in Idaho, you can kill them. Where can't you kill them?
Wyoming. Idaho Governor Butch Otter, a Republican, had said...
His name is Butch Otter?
Butch Otter said he would be the first in line for a wolf hunting license. He can't wait to get out there and kill them.
Otter kills the wolves. Read up on that and much more at greennews.bradblog.com. And welcome aboard once again to our new affiliates, rootsupradio.com, playing the Green News on Action Point with Cynthia Black, our old friend. Thanks, Cynthia. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
From what I understand, that Otter from Animal House went on to be a senator from Wyoming? What? I didn't think Otter was like that. He seemed rather a likable guy. But well, times change. 10 minutes past 8 p.m. here on the East Coast, 10 after 5 on the West Coast, something else entirely, somewhere else entirely, wherever it is that you are listening, whether you're listening live or listening remotely. Speaking of which, I got the nicest note on Facebook today. Got a note from Deb, who loaded up her MP3 player with Horn broadcasts. Took him on vacation with her through Colorado and Utah and had a marvelous time recharging her own personal spiritual batteries and took the horn with her to help in the process. And that just tickles me to pieces. Because, you know, sooner or later you come to grips with some things in your existence. And I know that in the last couple of years there's been a lot of talk about personal bucket lists and so forth of, you know, stuff you want to do before it's time to leave the building, so to speak. But the fact of the matter is, you come to grips after a while with the fact that there's stuff you're probably not ever going to do that you always wanted to. One of those things, you know, there's a lot of... My dream has always been to see as much of the planet as possible, and it appears that I'm going to see very little of it unless, you know, things change dramatically or, you know, I start, you know, or I was to go out in terrestrial radio and, I don't know, be a tattooed biker, steroid head, shooting dogs and wives and so forth and getting paid to be on the radio box. So I love it when people say, you know, I'm here and I listen and this is my world while I'm listening. Don't hesitate for a moment to shoot me a note, bobkincaid@gmail.com, and let me know how you listen. Because there's nothing hinky about this. I get a vicarious thrill out of hearing that kind of thing. I sit in a very small studio in the hills and hollers of West Virginia. And my surroundings are very familiar to me. And they are very day in and day out, and they don't change a whole lot. But when I think of where this program goes, and to whom this program speaks, and all the programs on the horn, Guy James, me, Mark Levine, John Fox, Billy Shears, Rick Goodner, Rick Smith, and shows as yet undreamt of, that will happen on the horn. When I think of everywhere we go, it sends a little tingle up my spine because I feel like in one way or another I'm there with you, seeing through your eyes and reading through your words. So, you know, tell me where you take the horn. Send me a note. You listen at work? What do you do when you're working and you're listening? I promise I won't tell the boss. What is your world like? North, south, east, west, Europe, Asia, South America, Central America. I think we still got some listeners down that way. Haven't heard from them in a while. Always love to, though. And again, the email did change a while back. bob@headonradio.com is no longer out there, but bobkincaid@gmail.com is. It's got a lot better capacity and a lot easier to search and stuff like that, so that's very cool. So, you know, just share your thoughts. Tell me where you're taking the horn. Tell me where the horn is being heard that I might never have imagined it would be heard. Because that's very empowering in its own way for me. Now, of course, you can do that by telephone, too, or any other topic you feel like bringing up. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Or on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Let's see, I'm trying to go down and find it here real quick. I had a first-time note from one of our recent new listeners who joins us in the chat room. Handle in the chat room is TCBYS. And he says, I'd like, based on our conversation about the nature of terrestrial buggy whip, old school radio, old fashioned, and what we talked about a little bit last night and talked about a little bit more in the form of Shannon Burke today. Hey, Bob, I'd like to say that the radio is dying because of no variety of what's on. I have a radio, but I use it from time to time to listen to some music or listen to a show at 1 a.m. called Coast to Coast AM. But my point is the reason I don't listen to a lot of talk radio is because of the right wing and the right wing BS that flooded it. Almost every station I tune to has some right wing nut talking, and it makes me mad. There's no decent radio program that deals with real issues. A lot of people listen to the Internet, and they listen to Internet radio because there is a lot of variety. It's not all the same right-wing nutcases talking crap about someone. He says, that's my two cents on that. And I agree, and I share that sentiment. Because one of the problems with turning... mega corporations turning the broadcast public airwaves over to mega corporations is they will maximize it for profit. And not for quality, and not for interest, but solely as an income generator. And when you do that, it just sort of, it can't help. It can't help but be, a failure. At least as entertainment or information, it might be a commercial success. But you know what? A dollar success is a mighty thin reed upon which to hang any measurement of whether something is overall a success. And by the way, also from the email bag, our colleague, horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner, with regard to Dick Cheney being poisoned, just reminds me, for 4 weeks after September 11th, 2001, Dick convinced himself that somehow he was poisoned and thought that he was surely going to die. Rick says, I think that's when he lost all contact with humanity. And you know, I had forgotten that if I knew it. I won't... But it is reminiscent of something, and of course, me being me, there's always some sort of boring old reference to ancient history. And in this case, I'm talking about a man who went by the name of Gaius Julius Caesar Augustus Germanicus. Gaius Julius Caesar Augustus Germanicus. The world knows him as Caligula. He rose to be the emperor of ancient Rome, and he ruled from the 16th day of March 37 until he was assassinated on January the 24th in 41. You know, we're so used to seeing two digits in front of that. What 37? No, 37. 16 March 37 until 24 January 41. He was the third emperor of the Roman Empire, according to the Wikipedia entry, which means he would have followed Augustus and then Tiberius and then, bang, Caligula. He was a Julio-Claudian, and he was named Caligula. Caligula means little boot, because he wore these cute little soldier boots when he was on campaign in Germania, Germany, with his daddy, who was beloved by the people, a man named Germanicus. And after, let's see, Augustus Tiberius, yeah, after Tiberius's death, when he became emperor, there was a lot of excitement. He was beloved. During the first 2 years of his reign, he was known for his typical and classic Roman moderation, for the nobility of his stature. Of course, none of this bears any resemblance to Dick Cheney whatsoever. There are a lot of words you would possibly use to describe Dick Cheney. Moderate and noble are not two of any of them. He consolidated power, as Dick Cheney did. That means he increased his own dictatorial powers. And it has been said, that about 2 years into his reign, he became gravely ill and was ill for quite some time. Prior to that, he had attempted to bring in some level of public reforms and political reforms. He made public the contents and the spending of the Treasury. When someone would say lose their home to fire, Caligula would see to it that those people were aided in getting new housing. He abolished certain forms of taxation. He had wonderful festivals. And restored elections. And all of this earned him a degree of adoration. But it was in October of... It was in October of the year 37 when he became very, very seriously ill. And for a while, the entire Roman Empire was on tenterhooks. But he did recover, and this is the point. After his recovery, he was an entirely different person. After his recovery, according to the primary sources, what there are, he was, in a word, a monster. He started having people loyal to him murdered. The first among those were the people who had gone to the temples and promised their lives to the gods in exchange for the sparing of the young emperor. Well, he held them to it. He had his father-in-law and his cousin kill themselves. He banished his wife. He executed the man who refused to prosecute Silanus, and Silanus, of course, was his father-in-law. He went quite mad. Became, it is said, sexually profligate. And lost all contact, as our buddy Rick Goodner notes about Dick Cheney, lost all contact with humanity. Isn't history grand? Isn't history simply amazing? From humane and beloved to monster over the course of a recovered illness. Or in the case of Dick Cheney, from vaguely ordinary to monster over the course of a paranoid perception of poisoning. Wow, that was nicely alliterative. So thanks for the heads up that led to the historical diversion there, Rick. God bless you. You're never far away, and you can always stoke some element of discussion and debate and dialogue. Let's go back to the phones. Horn intern Junior Grade Ferg has had to head off for the evening ablutions in anticipation of tomorrow's school day. So let's just find out who's on the phone here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Long time no talk.
Hey, David, how you been?
Well, I've been all right. I just wanted to say I think this country... And that goes for a lot of the intuitive and people we would consider intelligent in our culture and our entertainment and our media are tone deaf as well. I just found out that Oprah has a coupon for her site for free grilled KFC chicken for everyone.
Dude.
Giving free chicken to people. I mean, if she doesn't understand the connection there, culturally tone deaf.
Yeah.
There is nothing. I mean, and here's the problem with that. I mean, I don't think Oprah and a lot of people understand what this does. It doesn't matter if it's grilled chicken, people. The fact that she's offering free chicken is just going to feed to any of the racist right wing.
Well, yeah, there's that, and even if you evade that somehow or another, David,
yeah.
There's that. It was the Repiglicans in the 20s who offered a chicken in every pot.
Yeah, I think there's something, you know, and then you have to wonder, like, if you're going to do coupons for food, why does it have to be something unhealthy?
because that's the deal that you got. Yeah. How about free? I get your meaning. Why not, why not a basket of free organic groceries?
Well, lean cuisine, something that's accessible to everyone. That's everywhere. I don't know. I mean, I think she's even fallen for the fact that KFC is healthy now, which is just insane.
I mean, come on. I can't drive by the place without my gut gurgling.
That's what I'm talking about. And, you know, it does point, again, to the culture that we live in, that we want everything fast. And even if it's Oprah, she'll make that deal because she thinks just as long as it has the image of being healthy, I guess. And that's kind of unsettling if you think about it. So
more than a little bit.
Yeah, if it's just the image that's unhealthy, I mean, here's the other thing. I didn't mean to open the show with this, or I didn't mean to open my call with this, but the fact that she must have had that talk with people around her, like, you're selling coupons to chicken. Do you understand what that means? Doesn't matter if it's grilled chicken. Just throwing that out there.
Where'd the chicken come from? I mean, this isn't the chicken or the egg debate. This is the chicken from the poisonous the chicken farm debate.
Well, not just that. It's also the heavy stereotype. A black talk show host is giving away chicken.
Yeah, see, I'm trying to avoid that real hard, David.
You can't.
I know.
This is a problem. You know what? Paul Mooney said it best. He's one of my favorite comedians. If you guys haven't checked out the album Race, you should check it out. But anyways, what Paul Mooney said is, he said, why is it that nobody really comments on things regarding something like, he was talking about how Hammer, and he goes, have you seen that commercial where Hammer's dancing and he throws up some chicken and he catches it with his lips? And he goes, I can't make a joke about that.
Can't touch it.
I know.
Yeah, for once in Hammer's life, can't touch this.
Yeah, you can't touch that. You're right. And again, I guess it goes back to the thing that money talks, but you know, when he comes right down to it, someone has to, you have to say something in the room. You have to say, you can't do this. And to tie that into something that I don't know if you saw this, but there was a news story that they had to for a Popeye's chicken, and they had coupons around the United States. So what they did in Minneapolis was they had a whole story and they segmented it, so they made it look like all black people were eating, were going up there, and the coupons were these franchises did not agree to it, but somehow the news media, they just did everything,
managed to manipulate it anyway.
Every single black person.
And yeah, but see, now, that's one of those corporate foods that I'm really a victim of. See, I don't have a Popeyes around here. And this is the part of the program where probably a good 80% of the Horn audience is going, ew, Bob! They got the best spicy fried chicken livers on the whole blessed planet. Popeyes does. I did it to you, didn't I?
Yeah, I haven't actually had chicken livers, to tell you the truth.
It's really gross when you think that they're the same livers that come from the chickens that have been pumped up with all the steroids and stuff. I mean, there's reasons I look the way I do. But, I mean, there's not even one around here, so I can't blame them. But, oh, God, it's so good. And I hate to hear that they're screwing up, too. But it's not so much them as it was the the for-profit media, right?
Right. The thing about it, though, is the one thing that I noticed, if you watch the video, and I don't know if maybe Susan's watched the video or not, but the thing in the video that they do is it's set up with a white woman anchor. You can't make this shit up. It's set up with a white woman anchor, and then they find stereotypical black customers, and they have one guy who makes his eyes go big and go, "You mean there's no more chicken?"
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. The outrage that they receive from that news piece, because, I mean, first of all, it's kind of an oxymoron, too. That's
just painful to contemplate, David.
It's in Minneapolis. So they just, can you imagine how hard it was to find
Oh, God, Michelle Bachman will be talking about it on the house on the floor of the house. Oh, Jesus.
No, she won't. I mean, it didn't, thank God it didn't hit the mainstream. It was just part of the local, but I just, I was watching a video and I was like, this is insane. But anyway, so that was just the one funny thing that I wanted to open up with. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was John Fox regarding his computer. Yeah, this is something that I think we could help him with in this area. Maybe it's time to get a computer sponsor or a computer company sponsor. And I think the way we do that is maybe we could have a letter campaign to one of the sponsors, similar to how Tom Hartman has his computer sponsors.
Who sponsors Tom?
I'm not sure, but I believe it's some local store. But the point is I think if there are enough people who are interested in helping John, I think it's very possible that we could get a computer sponsor, especially with the kind of advertising that they could get. So
possible or you know, parts or something. Sure.
Yeah, that's something to consider. Or you know, or
we, hey, you know, yeah. What? We don't run on apples around here. I can barely turn an apple on. Okay.
But
I would gladly accept sponsorship from them.
Right.
Or, well, you know, I kind of draw the line with Dell.
Uh-huh.
Because of aren't they like right wing? Isn't that, well? But what company? What corporation? What major corporation in America isn't all right winged up? I mean, when you get right down to it, I don't know. I mean, that's like I did a little bit of work for a buddy of mine, just trying to sort out the issues on a 8-year-old laptop that was made by Micron. And you know, Micron used to be a big company, right? Remember Micron? Well, they're gone now. They're dead. And so I was running around trying to find drivers for this thing, and it was like knocking spider webs off of websites, you know? So there's going to be some element of it. But no, not a bad idea. It's a question of finding, you know, someone that would be interested in. And see, that's the other thing. Bless his heart, Tom at least has the marketing department of a major broadcast syndication unit behind him, so he doesn't have to go out and find it. You know, that he gets to focus on doing his program. He doesn't have to worry about writing the check to keep the bill on, bless his heart. That's a luxury I cannot imagine.
Well, you know, speaking of talk show radio host woes, Nancy Skinner got let go from KTLK because Randy Rhodes is going back.
Yeah, Ranty Rhodes? Yeah.
Ranty Rhodes.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to say this right now, and yeah. Frankly, people can think what they will. In that last escapade in which she was involved, I lost all respect for her. I mean, all respect for her.
Well, you know, the thing, I know we have quite a few fans, but I'll say it again. The fact that, you know, I think one of the reasons why a lot of people gravitated toward Nancy Skinner, because when a lot of people would have informing her, Nancy Skinner would take it a little bit more. She would be acceptable to it. Well, whereas Randy, if she really wasn't informed on it, she would kind of put you down and joke with you, like you were stupid for calling the show.
Well, I've heard her be. Understand, David, and this is just where I come from.
Yeah.
I'm not blowing smoke at anybody when I talk about how much respect I have for people who share their time listening to Horn programming.
Yeah.
It is real and it is genuine.
Mm-hmm.
but I've heard her publicly humiliate callers who adored the ground she walked on.
Yeah, I
can't imagine doing that to anybody on this program. I don't think I ever have. It is so counterintuitive and so violative of the entire spirit of everything that I think at least we should be doing here. But you know what? More power to her. You know, good luck. God love you. Live and be well. And I'm sure people are thrilled to pieces to have her back. But I, for one, have no interest in hearing anything that she has to say. And I won't divulge any details, but I know of no less than a couple of people whose names are not out there for public consumption, whose lives she made a living hell out of her last escapade. And they are people about whom I care. And as such, I have no, best of luck to her or whatever, but, you know, she is what she is.
It's probably good putting a disclaimer. These are just Bob Kincaid's personal feelings.
Well, they are. And, you know, if somebody writes, well, I'll never listen to you again because, well, you know, okay.
Yeah, I mean, and then, it's just so easy how people try to start a rivalry. And,
I refuse to play that game, David.
I know, but sometimes you get dragged into it anyways. Oh, it's a one-sided rivalry, but that's what happens. I mean,
no, she doesn't know I exist, and so that's quite comfortable for me. But you know,
I'm talking about as in her fans.
Oh well, she's been wrong.
You know, it's just good to just put a disclaimer on it. I mean, my personal feelings are the attitude that she's presented herself to the public, since I don't know her, I'm not willing. I can't make that connection where I...
Well, you know, look, I understand shtick and everything, but it's just the kind of... There's something that happens, you know, that you've either got it or you don't and all of that stuff. But I can't imagine getting behind the microphone and being anything except who I am. I can't imagine getting behind the microphone and calling myself a god. Okay? There are people who do that. You know, Flush Flimball is out there, with talent on loan from God. I can't do that. I can make a little fun of myself. I can talk about my prophetic abilities and the fact that I've got a tattered purple robe with a purple velvet robe with moth holes on it and frayed moon and stars sewn to it and a cracked eight ball that says, answer Hazy Ask Again Later, but that's on me.
Right.
But to go out and aggrandize oneself by calling oneself a god or goddess, I don't think so. That's just not me. And that's fingernails on a chalkboard.
I think that's what does it when you go into the radio system like that and you're treated like a starlet or diva pretty soon.
Yeah, you're wonderful, honey. You're wonderful. I love you. You're great. Yeah, you killed them. God, you're knocking them dead.
And then also, it's also the pressure of trying to impress her radio crew as well.
I guess.
You just think that's funny? I imagine it's something like that.
But again, like I've said before, I do this 3 hours a night, David, and I don't have time. I monkey shine around and stuff and clown about a little bit and do stupid voices and so forth. But what I'm about here is deadly in earnest. Okay. I don't have time to be somebody behind the mic that I'm not going down the street or out in the living room. All right, I'm just me, and I guess that's the reason I don't have a big old highfalutin contract with the same people that pay Flush Flimball to spew his poison over the airwaves.
Well, I think with something like that, Bob, you never know when it comes to the realm of technology, the direction that we're going in. You know, the guy from Tech TV with his Twit TV, the way he's done his setup, talking about how he has to turn away advertisers. I think if people stick in long enough and just keep the momentum, especially with Head On, you can have it be something.
Yeah, but see, I'm not, David, not to be, I'm not disagreeing to be disagreeable. But I don't see us ever having that problem because we are entirely too opinionated. Mm-hmm. We are entirely too straightforward. We are entirely too no BS. Mm-hmm. And we are entirely too understaffed, among other things, to ever have that kind of advertising. Because there aren't enough hours in the day. There just aren't. And, you know, if you were listening last week when Rick Smith was on the program, and he was talking about the fact that, you know, right-wing America's corporations are right-wing by definition, and therefore they are going to tend to support right-wing radio that espouses the viewpoints that they want put out into the atmosphere. Look at Jay Severin that we were talking about last night. This guy was saying that the swine flu was brought by what did he call them? Criminalians? And Mexicans carrying VD and women with mustaches? Well, you know, it's a damn fact now, David, that that whole thing was bubbled up and boiled up and brewed up in the pernicious, foul, pestilent, venomous, toxic, effluviant, excrescent, sludgy, pork, awful, nasty lagoons that American corporations put in Mexico, not peasants or campesinos. Corporate America is responsible for the swine flu. Not somebody who's trying to get a damn job to feed their children. So, I mean, you see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I think it's also, I think with something like that regarding the whole swine flu thing, I think, and you get to the point of like, well, you can't ban them from the airwaves. You can voice your opinions and say, I find this outrageous and unacceptable and intolerable. But see, my problem with that is the fact that the minute you do that, that promotes them even higher. Maybe not someone like Jay Severin, but definitely people like Michael Savage, and all across the board. And I don't know, I'm at a crossroads of, as you notice, whenever I post on the board, I go out of my way not to mention these people.
Yeah, I know.
And I know you can't because it's in the news and people, and also people want to talk about it. But I would say the fact that, you know, they are really gearing for to outrage, and they are really targeting. No pun intended. They really are targeting the liberals and progressives to touch on your emotional buttons to get you to respond. I think that's the game, and that's why I say to a lot of people, listen. You keep bringing up Ann's name over and over again. I notice a lot of the papers do it.
Oh, I won't even mention her name anymore.
I know her publicist couldn't be happier. So I mean, this is what all the blogs do. This is what all the news sites do. And nobody I know, when I have a conversation, we don't bring her up. So what does that tell you? It tells you that nobody's thinking about her, and it tells you what. Oh, when something happens, and when she makes an outrageous comment, eventually you're going to have the that patient mind and that tolerant mind to just say, you know what, can't even mention it anymore, because every time it just keeps putting her right on the front page of all these sites. And there are sites that I read, and I'm like, you just wasted a headline on this. Who cares?
Yeah, you wasted ink.
Right, you wasted ink, and to me, you know, it's, I don't know, eventually we're going to have to stop and just not even report on them anymore.
Well, there's so much stuff out there, and, you know, there's a lot of news at the beginning of every program that I have and think about getting to, David, but the fact of the matter is, I prefer the conversation to see where, you know, I would never have had that Popeye's story. You had that Popeye's story.
Yeah.
You are a more important part of this program than I am.
Mm.
You know, and name me any right wing host who feels that way about the people who share their time with this program or hers, because that person does not exist on the right wing.
Yeah,
I value, geez, this, I had stories A, B, C, D, and E lined up, and Susan starts the program with those crazy-ass Mormons possibly having baptized Barack Obama's mother posthumously. That trumped anything that I had in the stack.
You know, one thing that I was surprised that I was expecting maybe Scott from Salem to call on it, was the fact that they just passed an amendment regarding the swine flu in Massachusetts. I think it was like 64-0 or something, regarding martial law. I don't know if you heard about this.
No.
Yeah, regarding martial law and the details to this bill are insane, Bob. I mean, literally insane. Like, they can take your property away.
Can you shoot me an email so I can climb the learning curve and be ready for it?
Yeah, no problem. I can shoot you the email on the news and the details of the amendment and everything.
Okay, cool. I'd appreciate it. David, I kind of got to roll, though, because it's late in the program, so, of course, I got a couple of blinking lights, and I hate to leave people waiting.
All right, no problem.
All right. Talk to you later, David.
Later.
Bye now. Popeyes. Popeyes chicken. I guess I'm going to have to find that video. But, yeah, there's a couple of blinking lights here. I hope you're still there. That, of course, David in Maine, our pop culture correspondent, his bailiwick is stuff like that, and he does a tremendous job with it. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me good?
I got you great.
All right. Well, I've been listening to, like, for couple of weeks now, and I wanted to call in and talk about something that's going on around here.
Okay. Around where?
Ohio, a couple of school districts are having special elections for education funding.
Okay.
And some couple of schools I know are, like, really feeling really bad. Like, they had, like, cut school days and all that, which is, like, bad.
Yeah.
If Obama wants to pass that education reform, we need to find a way to fund schools a little bit better, because like some people are paying a lot of money to for school levies.
School levies are generally less than pennies on the dollar. It's how the money gets used, as far as I'm concerned. But then again, you know, you what you're looking at, and your name, please.
Justin.
Justin. Okay. Justin, one of the things that we have in this country is a vast system of inequities in education, because even within states, even within counties, within individual counties, you can have school systems that are vastly better than another. I can see it here in West Virginia. I grew up with it in Alabama. And those educational inequities are the reason, and they're all a product of little itsy bitsy school districts that exercise almost dictatorial control. So you're right, there has to be some means whereby the government begins to bridge the gap in these inequities. I don't know if that is to completely federalize the education system. That would drive the little right wing nuts absolutely out of their trees. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course.
They running around with their hair on fire. Oh, he's trying to. We're going to have socialist education. I mean, dear God. Just in terms of what you're talking about, as a sort of sidebar to it. Where is it here? Okay, I got it. Michelle Bachmann, you know, whom we have learned to just rely on for crazy.
Yeah.
Has now declared that 19 and 20-year-olds in America are being fitted with shackles and chains by Barack Obama. I wish I was kidding. She said, I'll tell you what I'm concerned about are the current 19 and 20-year-olds that are going to hold this debt. And it's the mother of all ironies, John and Brian, and that the kids who voted en masse for Barack Obama are the ones being fitted with shackles and chains, and they're going to wake up one morning and find out their tax rate is 65% or higher. Well, the only people who've ever had a 65% tax rate in this country, actually the highest marginal rate was something like 91% for the very richest of the richest of the rich of America, were people in the Eisenhower administration. You know, they're having this fit about taxation, and nobody's raising those taxes that way. All we're talking about is going back to a marginal tax rate that is approximately equivalent to that of the Clinton administration when we had the broadest expansion of the economy in the history of this country, and which, by the way, is dramatically lower than the taxes paid under their patron saint, Ronald Reagan.
Yep, so true.
You know, and yet, you know, so there are reforms that are needed in this country that are so, that would have so much benefit to this country, but there are enough, even though they are a shrinking number, there are enough weirdo, cancerous cult member, hardcore right-wingers to stop what desperately needs to be done.
I know. Because, like almost every levy I see usually fails for no apparent reason, even though these kids really need education.
Right. Well, and what you get is, see, the Republican Party has been very, very effective in that, Justin, in that they can say, when these levy, and I've seen it happen around here.
Well, I ain't going to pay the government no money, no more money. I got enough taxes as it is. And I ain't got no kids in school, so what's the schools to me?
The Republican Party and Grover Norquist and that dirty crowd have very effectively made a certain segment of our population give up. And I mean this. I'm not kidding. This isn't hyperbole. They have taught a certain segment of the population of this country to outright give up on the American dream. And that American dream is all founded upon the notion that one generation looks toward the future for the next, and that we pay together for things that benefit all of us together. But the Republican Party and their hardcore cancerous conservative knot have somehow gotten across the idea that none of that counts anymore. None of that's real. None of that matters. And so, consequently, you see things like educational levies failing in counties where you are and other counties elsewhere in this country.
Well, my district is doing good, but I know a couple of districts away are having a really hard time trying to pass a levy.
Yeah, well, and bear in mind, it's not just education. You can have a library levy. You can have an ambulance levy. Things that you obviously can't get on without. And these weirdo right wingers will come. We're taxed enough. When it'll say at the bottom. I don't know if it's like this in Ohio, but it'll say it at the bottom of the flyer in West Virginia. This levy will not change the amount of taxes that you pay. And you still can't.
A lot of teachers, if this levy fails, are going to get laid off, which means more jobs lost.
Sure, because we need that. But then again, remember in all of this, Justin, that the Republican Party puts their party first above all other things.
Yep.
This country could burn up in a massive fireball, and if the Republican Party could figure out a way to make some political hay out of it, they would. Because they are that amoral.
Yep.
Well, it's awful good hearing from you. I hope you'll call in some night when we've got a little more time to yak.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, take care, Justin. Bye now.
You too. Bye.
Wow, love getting new callers. Have you never called? You probably should. Let's see. Let's try to wedge one more phone call in here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. It's Preston.
Hey, Preston. What's up?
Well, sorry for calling so late, but I did want to mention a couple things real quickly. Congratulations on getting your article on Common Dreams. That was great to see.
Oh, thank you. That was entirely by the good offices of our dear friend Jeff Biggers. He's a hero of mine.
Yeah, and Jeff's gotten published a couple times in the past week. And the Green Festival was this weekend here in Denver.
How did that go? We talked about that a little bit.
You know, I had high expectations going into it, and they were exceeded.
Really?
I thought it was just a fantastic event. The Colorado Convention Center, where they held it at, is about 15 blocks from where I live, so I was able to ride my bike, and they actually had a bike valet set up.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, some Denver bike club was there taking people's bikes, and then, the exhibit hall was, people selling solar panels. We've had this huge pine beetle kill of trees in our mountains here, probably having something to do with the winters not being quite as cold as they used to be, so it's not killing off the beetle eggs so much. But anyway, people are finding ways to utilize stuff like that. Like a friend of mine bought some pine beetle wood kitty litter, you know, which is a good alternative to the kind of more, some of that stuff can be really toxic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, people trying to do, you know, creative things like that. A lot of recycled products, shirts made out of bamboo or sweaters made out of hemp being sold. And then there were speakers or off to the side, there would be like a main stage where kind of well-known people like Amy Goodman would speak, John Perkins, Mike Farrell, the guy who was in MASH. He's a great...
Oh, Mike Farrell, yeah. The played B.J. Honeycutt.
Yep, that's right.
Good liberal.
Yep. Really good on the anti-death penalty. And then they'd have smaller rooms with, like, you know, workshops or people talking about less, you know, or, you know, just less known people, you know, having their own audiences.
I said, you know, that's the one little place where I will manifest a little bit of ego. I'd love to get on some of those panels and just participate in those conversations.
Yeah, well, we could lobby. I was thinking about that today. I noticed there's a Green Festival coming up in D.C. I forget when. I want to say, I don't know, in a couple months or so. And, you know, people in communities, those regions, get involved with deciding who is going to speak at these events. And, you know, Denver has its own, you know, they had some of the same people that speak at the other events, but then Denver throws in its own, you know, people or people in the region. There was an organic farmer named Preston Green, actually, aptly named Mr. Green, the organic farmer who has a farm in the region. He talked about life on the farm and the growth of organic farming across the country. But yeah, in D.C., maybe we could connect with somebody somehow and say, you know.
No, I'd love that. Just this past weekend, and we will have him on next week, a week from tonight, as a matter of fact. Matthew Rothschild will be on the program. Just this past weekend, the Progressive Magazine had a big shindig in Madison, Wisconsin, where they celebrated their 100th anniversary. I would have crawled across ground glass to have been there.
I bet that was something else.
And, you know, that's one of the theories that I have for the horn, and we're fast running out of time, but I'll run over a couple of minutes. One of the theories that I have for the horn is that if we can ever get adequate funding, one of the things that we can do, and again, this is not about me, this is about the event, this is about the content, we can start doing more work along the lines of going places and making these events available to people who otherwise couldn't be there. You know, because it's not going to be, you know, maybe these things aren't important enough for C-SPAN, but they're important enough for the liberal community. So whether it's an environmental meeting or a political meeting, like what we're going to do going down the river Thursday evening to bring Elizabeth Kucinich's remarks to the world, where otherwise they would just go to a room full of people. I've got this crazy notion that that's important, but I've got to find a broader coalition of people. Because I can't put everything on the horn family's shoulders, because we ask for a lot and we get a lot. You know, I've got to find that broader coalition of people who think it is important for this kind of stuff to be out there and available live as it happens. Not, you know, not some YouTube video, but to see it live, see it real, see it, you know, in its instant, in its moment. Because, you know, if I can find that, Preston, you know, I will walk the walk and talk the talk. I will get off my butt and go and do it. I think I've already proven that. So, you know, that's part of the ongoing evolving operating philosophy here.
Yeah.
That we can walk and chew gum. We can do liberal progressive radio, but we can also step back and let the events speak for themselves.
That would be great. And I'll certainly be sending a donation here pretty soon. I've been using your 800 number, which I know isn't free on your end. I know you're paying for that. So the money that I save on long-distance calls, I'm going to forward to you.
Oh, bless your heart. I mean, that was not a pitch, Preston, but I wasn't.
I know, but I wanted to share that anyway. Tom Hartman spoke. at the event, and it was cool that the local progressive station, you know, they made available his talk for people who did miss it. What else? A friend of mine who's very much a big fan of right-wing radio, he's a temp worker that comes into my office, like, for a couple months each year. And he does other jobs. He's a real intelligent guy, computer skills big time. But we disagree politically. And so it's been a practice for me to be able to communicate with this guy without constantly putting him on the defensive or trying to argue him into a different position. Because, you know, it's something that he's going to have to come to himself at some point. So I just try to hear him and share a few other thoughts. But the week leading up to this event, I gave him a brochure and I said, you might want to check this out. And he actually went with his fiance and he took a friend of his. And he's actually the guy that bought the kitty litter. So I saw that as a great political victory.
Yeah, that is. You know what? We can't, you can't minimize anything that changes even an iota of the mindset, Preston. You can't.
Yep. I come back to that, Oliver Wendell Holmes quote, something like, one's mind, once stretched by a new idea, never goes back to its original dimensions.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of opportunities to at least share ideas and leave it at that. Let the idea run around. And people may be very defensive themselves and come at you with all the arguments that they've been taught in response, you know, either the cheap dismissals about, well, that's leftist America hating or socialism, da-da-da, or whatever. Like this guy, he's the guy who argues, you know, the problems about electric cars with their whole battery issue and, you know, what do we do with those? And that's something to be considered seriously by progressives. They're not cure-alls, although there are...
No, I mean, you know, when we talk about batteries and so forth, those are lithium batteries. And ever since I heard it said the first time when Van Jones said it, it has remained in my consciousness, and that is if we do not, we can have all the green economy and all the green jobs in the world and all of that, but if we do not change the way we approach the very fabric of our existence, what Van Jones said and what I think is so appropriate, he said we will be fighting wars over the lithium to put in the batteries that power our tanks.
That's right. And these designers who do have an eye towards sustainability talk about these batteries instead of using them up and throwing them in a dump or throwing them on the global south somewhere, you know, Somalia or wherever, yeah, into their ocean.
Yeah, see, I don't want sustainable tanks.
Right.
I don't want sustainable B-52s.
Yeah, I hear you totally. But we can have sustainable, you can take the battery and get it back. The producer, the manufacturer can get the batteries back, rejigger them, and put them back to the consumer to reuse them. Hopefully, yeah, not in an Abrams tank, but in a car or a mass transit bus or a high-speed train or light rail and all that other stuff that's coming along.